for some time now. But, yeah, it's just not as easy as we thought. But, what's up? Daniel Alvarez, a.k.a. Spring Walk.
The whole government now. What up, champ?
Chillin'.
How you be?
Chillin'.
UB is the place to be.
You know it. So which one of these two are more, I wouldn't say shocking, but, I mean, would it be shocking if Tank was injured and being wheeled around in a wheelchair? Or what's more shocking, Wilder and Fury with secret talks fight?
We saw Tank is cool, you feel me? We saw he was fine. He sparred last night. You know what I'm saying? So as far as I'm concerned, green light for April 15th. Yeah, man. I'm beyond shocked for the Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder talks. I hope that, like, I don't know, bros. I'm shocked. I'm going to be honest with you. It's kind of hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, I laughed at it. Honestly speaking, I laughed like, oh, wow, this can't be serious. I know Wilder's always wanted to fight in the UK. He is coming off a win. But I don't know what the sales would be. Is this now free in America because Wilder is fighting in the UK? I mean, do you see it that way? Because maybe the pill is easier to swallow if it's not American pay-per-view again. Or do you believe a fight of this magnitude, regardless of Wilder's short comeback over Hellenius, it does have to be pay-per-view in America and in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, I think that their purses that they bring and that what they've been getting makes it be pay-per-view, both UK and USA. I think that the fight is bigger by a long shot in the UK.
Now, the reports are that Fury's not happy with the Saudi offer for Usyk, and that's why there's been secret talks between the camps of Wilder and Fury for a possible, you know, four fight in Wembley with Fury. I'm just saying, how does the math make sense? Like, if you're getting Saudi money, how's the Wilder Fury a fourth time in your hometown more money?
He probably feels that he probably feels that it's a undisputed fight, you know what I'm saying, should make more. We've already seen the Wilder fight, so maybe he feels that that's you know, an easy fight and an easy sell for him at home. So he probably feel he could make that money, you know, at home.
How'd you receive it, though? I mean, this definitely is left field.
Yeah, man.
And the report is saying that they've been talking. It says here that Tyson Fury has reportedly held talks with Wilder for weeks over having a fourth fight at Wembley if his bout with Usyk fails to happen. Obviously, Fury and Usyk have been negotiating for quite some time, and really, they need to just walk away from that fight. Like, no one cares. It's the only undisputed that no one cares about. Like, you don't see YouTubers talk about it. You don't see Twitter talk about it. Like, you don't even see, like, The Zone and ESPN talking about it. It's undisputed. No one cares about it.
I mean, they just did a whole segment on Max on Boxing, and it's on ESPN and ESPN Ringside on the holdup for negotiations for that fight.
Well, about time, because...
But to be quite frank with you...
It's been months.
To be quite frank with you, that was in the last 48 to 72 hours.
There you go, because it's been months. How long have they been negotiating?
No, I mean, you're definitely right. Obviously, the war was the holdup in at first, at least that's what they said. But now it's like, what's the holdup? Why can't this get done? So, you know what I mean? I think that, yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I don't want to see the fourth fight.
Not even in the UK.
Like, I'm trying to think as a fan, and now that we're going to London, like, I'm like, okay, cool, like 90,000 at Wembley.
Wait, we're going to London?
Yeah.
Maybe you should officially announce it since you didn't.
Oh, shit, you're right. We haven't. Bro, I'm sorry. Yes. That's what I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, we've been saying this. Yes. So, hello, everybody. Ringwalk Danny here. I would like to thank our friends over at Stagefront for bringing us over across the pond. You know, for another hospitality event, we will be doing a live show the day of the fight, you know, early pre-fight type thing. Hospitality, right? So let me pull this up. Now, actually, I'm going to send you this link. And we're doing something very unique.
Same link from yesterday? Because I could just go to that one.
No. So we're doing something. Actually, yeah, you could go to that one. Go to that one because that's really the one that counts. So we're doing something very unique. You know, something I'm looking forward to. So we will be having a one. I think it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, but we will be having a very unique opportunity. We've teamed up. Not just with Stagefront, but with our good friends, Johnny Fisher and Big John Fisher. And we will be having a Chinese dinner the night before AJ versus Franklin in London. So we'll be just steps away from the O2, private Chinese dinner, not just the private Chinese dinner, but a karaoke with the heavyweight contender and his father. Obviously, Big John has made those Chinese dinners legendary. So Ness and I and Bo making a trip across the pond tail end of next month for the Joshua versus Franklin showdown. And if you would like to join us and be part of the experience and be able to experience, which actually Andre Dakota already hit me up, said.
Yeah, he hit me up too.
Said, you know, he's
shout out to,
you know,
Andre,
looking into it.
Which I think this might be. Yep, that's him, TBV in London, member for 26 months at the contender level. Shout out to one of our pound-for-pound supporters. He's actually the gentleman I told you helped me get to Manchester and Ireland the first time around. I thought it was a little crazy, and he's like, nah, I get out there all the time for, you know, $400 to $500 flight only.
Yo, let me tell you, now,
mm-hmm.
from New York, there's this airline. Bro, you could get from New York to London for under $300.
Well, we might have to go to Florida, then come back up to New York.
Yeah, but so you got the website pulled up?
No. Okay. No, I don't. So the website from yesterday, you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, the website from yesterday. Because there is going to be a very limited amount of people that will be able to join us for this all-inclusive Chinese dinner. You know, your food, all your drinks, karaoke included. Obviously, this is part of a hospitality package for the AJ Franklin fight. So this is just a add-on bonus, right, with your TBV compadres, if you will. Not just do you get us Friday night, but Saturday, fight night as well. We'll be doing a live show from the O2 Arena. And then, you know, shit, I'm hoping we could make something cook for after. But, you know, that would be on us. But you said you do have the website pulled up. Cool. So let's screen share that to show people how they can get these Stagefront hospitality packages and be part of this once in a lifetime Chinese dinner. So keep scrolling down to the map, Ness, of the arena. And then, so the beautiful thing, things are done different in the UK. So you can stop right there because it kind of shows pretty much everything. This is a beautiful thing that I like that they're doing, Ness. everything that's in color is an available seat for the stage front hospitality. So that gets you access to the VIP lounge. We're in the O2 Arena where we will be doing our live show. In that VIP lounge, all-inclusive food, all-inclusive beverage, alcohol, yes, not water, but the real bevs, all right? That matter. So you'll get that autograph merch and obviously some meeting with some master fighters. That being said, I like it. That's because remember in Arizona, it was only the high-end packages. It was the high-end packages. Yep. Keep it with $750. So click on one of the blue ones.
Bro. At least $750. I thought it was like $800, bro.
No, the cheapest one was $750, and then we had a $850 one.
I'm clicking on blue 416.
Perfect. And I just want to show people how affordable it is to be able to join us. This is a phenomenal thing that they're doing. And then just, you know, go to one of the highlighted seats. What's the price that
comes
up?
You selected $135 pound seat.
Boom. So 135 pounds gets you not just a seat in the arena, but it gets you the VIP hospitality. Now, go back to...
And it's closest to the ring, too. Look at that. Like,
yes.
This is the ring.
So it ain't like you...
far away.
Back of the section, you're in the front. But yeah, close out of that section, and let's go back to where it's the full map.
Back at it.
All right. So click on the D1 VIP, because only the D1 VIP...
D1
yes,
VIP.
Yes, sir. Only the D1 VIP get... to be part of the Chinese dinner with Big John, Johnny Fisher, ourselves, and not just have some prawns and some...
looks like people already bought some.
Orange chicken, definitely. They've already sold over 20 packages. So,
oh, wow.
So it'll be, you know what I'm saying? Since these packages are already top-level price, I mean, you're talking five rows from
with
the ring.
With exclusive access to not only the fight, but to the dinner.
Right, so the dinner, well, that was why I thought the dinner would be a great idea. I'm like, yo, these people are already paying all this money for the ringside seats. Let's give them a once-in-a-lifetime experience and opportunity. We're coming to the UK. Let's do it big. You get what I'm saying? So if you can't afford, because it's 2,500 pounds, right? Or how much is it? Click on it. Because I know Andre Dakota was looking at those packages. 2,500.
Which includes a VIP inner ringside seat, pre-party in the American Express Lounge, Amex Lounge.
That's where we'll be doing our live show the night of the fight.
The night of the fight.
So, and all packages come with this.
All of them.
All packages come with this. It is the dinner, the Chinese dinner with Johnny Fisher and his dad, Big John Fisher, the night before the fight, that is a add-on for those who are in the D1 VIP section. But that being said, even if you're in the 416 section that Ness just showed you, that's only 130 pounds, you'll get access to the pre-party in the Amex Lounge with the Boxing Boys. You'll get official Matchroom signed merchandise. You'll get all-inclusive food and alcohol in the Amex Lounge. So even if you're at the top, yeah, your seat's up there, but you still get access to the lounge that comes with your food and beverages. You'll still get, you know, access to the meet and greet. You just won't get access to the dinner unless you have a D1 VIP seat. Obviously, those are a lot steeper since those are five rows from the ring. So looking forward to not just making my UK debut. I know you've made the trip across the pond. But we'll be making our debut together, and, you know, I'm excited, bro. Definitely looking forward to it. I'm glad it's for a heavyweight showdown, and looking forward to meeting all the TBV family and, you know, definitely throwing a few back.
Absolutely. This is going to be an amazing experience. Little dinner party, watch the fights, hang out with some official fight fans. I'm looking forward to it, man. London for the AJ Jermaine Franklin fight. Right now I got a poll. I'm looking for a fourth option here. Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder in talks for a fourth fight. Will you buy the pay-per-view? Yes, no. Fire stick in this fight. What's the fourth option?
Are you buying the pay-per-view, you said, for Wilder Fury?
Yes, no. Fire stick in this fight.
we've already, like, please know, we've seen it three times.
Hmm. So that's a double no.
Well, you're saying if you're going to buy the pay-per-view, I'm saying don't make the fight at all.
Mm. All right. We've got the poll out. We're open on Twitter for those that want to use Twitter to call in. And we do have our landline, the number 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 one time. You can also check us out on Discord, which is rocking and rolling. Shout out to Cashman P for the fresh tea. Appreciate you, champ. Keep doing your thing and grinding. If you haven't already, hit that thumbs up button. Go ahead and do so. That's going to help with the visibility of the show. That's going to help put this episode in the eyes of other boxing fans to see how they feel about a four fight with Fury and Wilder.
Yeah, hater.
What?
Buzz, that's our guy.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying. Uh-huh. And then, look, that's what I'm saying. He don't even give us love. That's crazy. I saw that this morning. Crazy.
Our feed ain't what he like, bro. You know? I mean, I'm sure you don't follow everybody.
I sure fucking don't.
You know, it's all about timeline and
but
what
I ain't
you want
gonna,
on it.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. I do follow the people that's hot, though.
Mm.
Like, if you hot, you know what I'm saying? In my world, if you hot, I'm following you.
You ain't hot in his world, bro.
We the hottest thing out since. You know what I mean?
Speaking of hot, though, Tank's kind of, you know, TMZ wheelchair shit has been hot in these streets. Before him proving his innocence, did you believe?
That was what? That he was hurt?
You sent me the video of the TMZ thing. Did you?
I guess there was a small part of me. Small part of me.
And when you seen that, did you think, damn, this fight is off?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a small part of me knew that. If he's hurt, obviously, I knew that if he's hurt, there's definitely that possibility, you know, don't get this fight. So, yeah.
We're going to go ahead and screen share this TMZ. Oh, there you go. Safari, we'll try and refresh, see if that's going to sound better. If not, you'll get no sound. Tank. So obviously this is a TMZ reporter asking Tank what happened. Tank's actually talking to him. This actually pissed Danny off because Tank's actually talking to him, but Tank's peoples obviously get rid of the TMZ reporter, and you can hear him saying, like, hey, he's talking to me, you know,
yeah.
But they got people trying to cover Tank up. So this is what caused everyone to believe something was wrong.
As a reporter, yo, I'm not going back and forth with you. If he's talking to me, I'm going to keep talking. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would have done. But I feel like that he would have got more out of the Tank had he just kept talking and you know, shout out to 6-4, but I would have just ignored him, kept him pushing and kept doing my job.
But that's exactly why I stopped going to fights because, you know, they know you there to do a job and, you know, that is the treatment that they give the reporter. You know, and that's TMZ at the highest level where they could use that publicity. You know, before we got into this sport, the phrase good publicity, bad publicity, what's that phrase?
All publicity is good publicity.
There you go. But for some reason, his team felt, nah, don't put no cameras on the man in the wheelchair, which obviously everyone knows
that
he was in the wheelchair. So
that
it's
has
like
the biggest fight of the year coming up.
And, the internet went crazy, and they're like, oh, this fight is off. So Tank took to his social media to post this.
I loved it, too.
And this is Tank showing that his ankles both work. You know, people on Twitter ran with the fact that he was crip walking or dancing, whatever the two. But this is him rolling both his ankles, letting you know that these work perfectly fine. So that is more proof that You know, there's nothing wrong with Tank. And sometimes in these big events, celebrities
was
or people with money.
Was people really suggesting that he was crip walking?
Absolutely. Sometimes in these big events, Danny, people with money, they get scooters. Like, we were at the trade show. How many healthy, perfectly fine Americans did we see on scooters throughout the trade show?
Plenty.
So some people just don't want to walk. No. And you rent one of these.
I can attest. Remember, we got the tickets to go see Bad Bunny. Couldn't go,
mm-hmm.
but we had the tickets. Got them last minute. I actually made it. And when I made it, that's when I realized, like, yo, this shit damn near over. Called Ness, like, yo, turn around. That being said, I wasn't trying to walk back to my car. I was tired. Bro, I got the fucking lady with the bike, and I chilled back, and she fucking pedaled me for 5 blocks to the parking lot. You know what I'm saying? So plenty of people do that. You know, it is a service that a lot of venues do offer. You just said Friday we were at a...
I just think at this point they know what they're doing. Like, he literally said, oh, you know, shit happens, but then same day, next day, you rolling your ankles like, ha-ha, shut up. I just think they know what they're doing. And it's like I said, all publicity is good publicity. So it's like, yeah, yeah, let them think what they want. Then we come and shut their mouth, and we keep buzzing. That's what it feels like. Because truthfully, I felt wild and thought he was injured for a good 24 hours.
Yo, why do you have to be out of shape to not want to have to walk? Why can't you just have a long day?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Why can't it be hot as fuck and you're not trying to, you know what I'm saying, deal with that? You're just trying to chill. Like,
you rich. Let them push you around.
The fuck?
But more proof that he isn't injured, Danny. This is someone he made famous. I've never heard of this fighter. And this fighter's making the rounds now. Have you heard of Elijah Tech Flores?
Is that the guy he fought?
Elijah Tech, yeah.
Nah, I ain't
me
never...
neither. So he's making the rounds. He's getting popular because he sparred with Tank. And obviously Tank had to use him to prove, yo, I'm good. This is Tank, allegedly yesterday.
Yeah, last night.
And this is, you know, Elijah saying they sparred 6 solid rounds.
Yeah. Don't move the time. Same thing. If you try to get out of there, then yeah, that's different. But you trying to back it.
That's somebody else. That's why I told him my last hit.
So Tank mentoring the young man that's obviously way bigger than him, but giving him tips on, you know, being in that ring. As you can see, some big names, scrappy boxing, saying keep being great. Fernando Vargas Jr., good as work. Abdullah Mason with the salute emoji. Josue Vargas, Ofacio Falcon Jr.
What Josue say?
Josue just put the prayers up emoji in the love. You know, I don't know this guy, Richard Brewer Jr. I don't think I do. But Steve Galliano, definitely know him. So a lot of people showing that love.
That's what's up,
and this
man.
Is a big sparring partner, too. You know, obviously doesn't, you know, we don't know what he brings, any similarities he may have with Ryan. Body-wise, he looks thinner than Ryan. Not as filled out as a Ryan, but definitely a big kid. When you look at him and Tank side by side here, you know, almost the size of a Barrio, slightly smaller. What do you think?
Damn, y'all really mad that Tank got money to be wheeled around in the wheelchair if he so chooses to? It's fucked
up.
Oh,
you still on that?
Yeah, I mean, people just, you know. But what was your question, sir?
No clue. Honestly, it'll come back probably. Something about Tank and the size of the sparring partner. You know, him not really being as big as a Ryan, but still big as fuck. Almost slightly smaller than a Barrios.
Actually, strong. I was a big guy, strong guy. So, I mean, like, still waiting on that.
They sent an announcement, what, this week?
Yeah.
You know, people, we didn't get the Showtime announcement either. Like, Espinoza was on Chicken Talk saying after the Super Bowl. So the Super Bowl's done. You know, when do you expect at least a Showtime schedule announcement?
Ooh, I mean, they kind of been putting shit together already, so yeah, probably this week, but half the fights already done been announced. Because on the announcement, Plant Benavidez is going to be on it, you know what I'm saying? That card in Minneapolis is going to be part of it, so.
Oh, wow. Fabuloso is recalling their product. I use Fabuloso a lot. That's
me
crazy.
Too, bro. Y'all remember, like, back when, you know, you live in with your moms in high school, you ain't supposed to be smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I ain't never do this in my house, but, like, my friends would definitely be smoking in their house. But we lighting a Fabuloso on the stove.
And boiling it?
Yeah, boiling the Fabuloso to get the aroma through the house. Nah, yeah, I got Fabuloso under the kitchen sink right now.
Nah, that's a go-to, man. For I can't sure. believe it's being recalled.
Did it say for what?
I mean, yeah, I ain't read all that.
Oh, okay.
I ain't do all that. Is that a guess? Let's see. Joshua, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm Danny, man. Appreciate you guys for having me.
How are you?
Shoot, I'm actually doing well. Camp is coming towards this last week, and I got a fight coming up on the 25th of February, and you know, I'm doing well. Other than everything in boxing, I'm doing well. I can't complain.
So where is this fight taking place?
So I'm in Brampton currently. It'll be at the Brampton CA Center, and that'll be thrown by United Boxing. That's my promotional team, and I'll be having going for 8-0. I have my 8th fight of heading into like my full year in the pros, and I'm excited.
Wait, heading into a full year in a pro and you already got 8 fights?
Well, yeah, I did want to do a little bit more, but I heard I've been doing enough. Like, I've been pretty active, so I'm 7-0 currently, 6 knockouts, and I'll be fighting in February. And then, unlike my first year, I had a full lineup of fights for the whole year, and this year we're just taking it as it comes.
So tell me a little bit about your promotional company, because I'm already impressed to hear that you got 7 fights in 1 year.
Well, United, I grew up around, hopefully you guys can hear me well.
We hear you fine.
Perfect. I grew up with United. I was one of those little kids that you used to see running around the shows. Used to play hockey as a child for Brampton, and it's also in a huge facility, local, so a lot of kids grew up in there. And growing up, I never thought I would be a boxer, but at one point I changed and chose the path of the warrior. And I'm all into the family business. I grew up in a family household of fighters. I grew up in the gym. And basically at this point, United was closest to me. I could trust, and I knew they had the best interest in me. So I signed a two-year deal with them. I can opt out in my third year. But as far as they said they would be able to give me as much fights as I needed. And I was really open to that.
And it seems like they've been doing that. I'm assuming you've been happy with the way they've been able to move you?
Yeah, I've been having fun. They actually let me sign a pretty sweet deal. So I can fight on other promotional lines. I don't have to strictly fight for just their shows, which allows me to stay busy. And I really let them know that they're with me and they trust me. So they're on my side.
So when did you take up the sport? I heard you say that you took this up a little bit late. You didn't know you were going to be a boxer.
I grew up in the gym my whole life, training, like I said, but I started maybe when I was 18. I just turned 29 about a month ago. So last, I want to say 10 years, 11 years, I've been in, did the national, my first and second year in the amateurs. I was the Canadian national champion by my second year. Best boxer at the Nationals. And then after that, I actually took my talents to Jamaica and I ended up having over 80 international fights. And the process was, it was actually an amazing process.
Now,
you're in Canada now?
Yeah, I live in Canada. I'm born and raised in Canada, and like, as far as moving around, I'm able to go. I have a huge team behind me that helps and supports me, and I'm actually lucky I have them, because if I do need to move around, they allow me to be free then that way.
I wanted to ask, because your last fight was the first fight that you've had go to decision. So that was your first six-rounder and your first time ever being past three rounds. This fight you got coming up, February 25th, is your first scheduled eight-rounder. Obviously, you don't get paid to go eight, so it could end at any point. But how's that preparation been, and do you believe you're ready to go the full eight if need be?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. I'm in great shape. And in my last fight, there was a point maybe a few weeks before the fight where in training camp, I don't know if other fighters do it, but I tend to train based on how I want to fight. So instead of going out there to go for the kill and the knockout, I wasn't really chasing it in the fight. But if it came at any moment, I was going to take it. But there was a few things I learned in the fight that just, you know, the vets are going to do. And I think that's what everything is for right now.
So are you around the areas of Phil LaGreco? What was the other? It's a pretty, you know, obviously Cody Crowley.
Who else we got out there? Castillo Clayton's from out there.
Yeah. Any of these guys in and around your area? Or I know Canada's huge.
You know what? It's big, but like I said, I've traveled, and I've actually reached out to all the fighters in Canada, anyone that's fought like Vargas or Rose. Rose grew up in the gym I was in. My father is my coach, Lewis Frazier, and we've had huge support from our supporters. I got Rival Boxing has been helping me with gear probably before I was even a boxer. So they helped me out with sports other than boxing before I was a boxer. And now that I'm boxing, I've reached out to all these other people, but now I actually have to look out to networking. So I was out there in Long Island hanging out with Jai Tucker not too long ago, and pretty much that family right there, the whole aspect of them was a beautiful scene out there.
Hanging out with Jai Tucker or getting at work with Jai Tucker?
When I say I travel, I only travel for work. So when I say hanging out, I mean we're in training and we're going hard. And, like, I've tend to stop telling people, you know, the deep goals of what we do. But it seems like hanging around people that have the same end game as me has really helped me grow and, like, sharpen the steel quicker.
So any plans on making a U.S. debut, or are you looking to continue to build yourself in Canada and force the fights to your side of town? Because, you know, we've seen guys like John Pascal and Adonis Stevenson, Lucien Boutte, become very big in Canada and force Americans and other people to their country for defenses and fights.
So I was always told I had to go out to someone. It's always nicer to go to someone's home and beat them in their home. I would love to be able to bring the titles back to my home city, but it's Brampton. It's in Ontario, and the rules are a little bit different. So we do same-day weigh-ins, and I love
that. Oh, wow.
I'm used to them. So I think that
same-day weigh-ins.
Yeah, the fights that you're talking about, those historical fights, like even like a Duran and Leonard, all that stuff happened in Montreal. But I can drive there. It's driving distance. I won't drive there no more. I'll take a little flight.
But why in Brampton is it same-day weigh-ins?
So as a fighter, I never tried to jump into it too much. But now I hear a lot of fighters talking about it. So I think we're going to try to get together as a collective and try to see if we can get it more generalized to our neighbor as far as Montreal, where that's where the belts are. That's where all the champions tend to come, and that's where they stay. So I can go there and get in work, but it's a weird thing. It doesn't seem like everyone wants to just get in the ring and spar with anyone no more. I don't know what it is, but...
So are you guys under a different sort of sanctioning body in Brampton? I'm just shocked as to why it would be same day. I don't think I've ever heard professional same day weigh-ins until they changed it. I don't know anyone just still doing it.
So It's I might be one of the few people who are still doing it. We used to have King Kanashi, and now we have a new commissioner who's actually willing to get the fights out there. And now that I'm a boxer and I'm in it, I see it happening, and I'm like, I'm asking the questions. I can kind of get some answers. But it seems like the rules haven't been changed from the older rules that were set or, like, even redone in a while. So let me ask. We've been having a lot of fights.
If you were fighting under traditional rules, would you still be a junior welterweight? Junior middleweight?
Yeah, I've hit 147 by accident in the gym. When I say by accident, I mean just, like, keeping the sauna suits on and stuff like that. Like, just keeping hoodies on and track suits. I tend to work out really hard, so the weight will just fall off over time. And then with the nutrition, like, so the day before weigh-in, what I like is I'm still going to stick in the 154 division. That's really what I'm going to do. I really do want to make my name here and make a staple at a certain weight. I don't want to jump around and play around with the weight.
I noticed that you've gotten down as low as 151. Is welterweight in the plans, or are you just fighting at junior middleweight until the title shot opportunity comes?
I think actually my promoter would love me to go to 147, but I've had that talk with him, and I told him where I would love to make my stand and make my legacy.
But again, if you were doing next day weigh-ins, or day before fight day weigh-ins, would you consider welterweight more?
I think if I would have done it more in my career, I would be highly open. I'm open to it. But as I'm seeing, even some guys in the 54 division are small. And then I'm looking at the taller guys in the 147 division. They're looking really skinny. So I love the competition I have at the 54 division. Not saying that any other division isn't the best division, but I think it's one of the best divisions in the world.
And what are you hydrating to the night of the fight? Like, obviously you weighed in earlier that day. How much are you able to put on?
I can put on weight. I don't like throwing on a bunch of weight. If I was to do bigger rounds, 10 rounds, I probably am going to hydrate a little bit more. Heading into the 12 round, period of my life, I would hydrate a little bit more, but I'm not hydrating back up.
We lost you. You said you're not hydrating what?
I'm not putting on like an extra 7-8 kilos after the fight, but I do fully hydrate.
So what are you weighing on fight night?
I haven't really jumped on the scale before I got back in there. I actually just rehydrate until my body feels like it tells me she's good, and then I'll stay on a program until the fight gets to tie again the ring. But if I was to say weigh in at 154, I'd be probably walking in under 160, 160 by time fight night.
Okay.
So if you were to fight now, let's say you get an opportunity to fight under the rules pretty much everybody else is under with the day before, how much more do you feel you would have to rehydrate? Because obviously now you're talking, you're going to be facing somebody who naturally rehydrates for a day and a half versus you only have same day to rehydrate.
I think it would be amazing because we both have the same amount of time to hydrate. And I can actually start to train my body to get used to it. It's just because I'm home right now. We haven't really had no fights labeled to go out of town. I haven't really been thinking about the day before weighing, but Montreal is where I had that fight, and we did a day before weighing. It's just a whole different feeling. There's a lot of time, and I know eventually that time is going to be filled with TV press and stuff like that. So I do understand that time is going to be filled. So it's basically going to be similar to a same day with Fane anyways, because you're going to be busy.
Nah, man.
It ain't like that.
Look, I ain't never been to a fight that same day weighing, but break it down for me. Right now you fighting. What is your day like? What time is you hitting the scale, and what time is you hitting the ring, and what you doing in between? Because I'm with fighters after weigh-ins.
bro, we is eating like a mother. Like, you know what I'm saying? They got the lunch, and then they got the dinner, and then the nutritionist got the snacks in between, and then the next morning they got the breakfast, and then they got the lunch, and then they got the light snack before the fight. Like,
so I'm on similar to, I get the breakfast, I go get lunch and have a light, and I have dinner pretty much before the fight. We'll sit down with the family and have
dinner.
Oh, bro, I eat. But that's the thing, is like, when I was an amateur, the only thing that sucked is I was cutting weight. So I would fight five times in like, say, a week, and I was cutting weight. But now this is for one night, so we do this. I go 12 rounds.
I'm excited for you. I mean, I can't believe you've gotten that many fights. You know, you got to stay there, keep doing your thing, because this guy's giving you the development that you need. You are you're also going into the ring versus Uriel Hernandez. Seems to be a tough guy. Obviously, he had a losing record, but he's only lost to undefeated fighters. He hasn't been able to be knocked out by any of those undefeated fighters. Any concern or, I don't know, your competitive nature, you know, driving you to train harder to be the first man or second man, rather, to knock him out? He has been knocked out once, but that was his first fight, I mean, a long time ago in 2012. Other than that, he's been able to hang with these undefeated prospects fairly well.
Yep.
Them the decision, which obviously is a concern for me, since you've never gone eight rounds, and this will only be, you only had one eight rounder and you're jumping now, you know, you only had one six rounder and you're jumping up to eight rounds. I mean, I'm fucking up. You had one eight-rounder.
Right?
You had one eight. Oh, yeah, you
this
had one first-rounder.
Bro, no, he's only gone six once, Ness. He's had four six-rounders.
No, he's got more than one six.
Yeah.
He's got more than six.
He got, exactly.
But
only
he's
gone,
only gone
yes,
eight. This
yes,
could be his first time
yes,
going
I'm
eight.
I'm just trying to help you out. Just let me talk, Tim. I got you. Jesus.
No, you guys got it right. No, for sure. It don't really make me feel any type of way, but it did excite me to know that he hasn't been really stopped by these undefeated guys. It did. It did make me want to try to be that one. It does push you in the gym months ahead, for sure. And I'm excited to get back in the ring. I really do enjoy staying active. And I do enjoy fighting the best of the best out there. So I do understand this is a different game. We're going to have to work our way there. And I'm willing to travel. My team is with me. I have a huge support system with from, like I said, Rival Boxing. You know, I have good family members, Joey, my father, Dwight Fraser, my coach. There's a lot of people that look out for me. Bert Bevel there. These are some people that actually, I don't know where I would have been without them. So at this point in my career, it's actually going to be huge. It's huge. The fact that he hasn't been stopped by these guys, it doesn't really, no, it does, because I'm preparing to do to basically put the game plan in place, so.
Well, we got a few questions from the people. Looks like Adrian Rowan in Wisconsin sends the first one, asking, how long was your training camp for this fight? And were there any struggles making the weight, or was it more just sharpening your skill set and putting gas in the tank?
Big shout out to Wisconsin, man. And, you know, that's a good question. We still have a week out, and like I said, I'm still eating good. The other day, the boys went out after training camp, and they did a whole group eating, and I did join them, but obviously we have to stay dedicated. So, you know, I went out, big shout out to Ghost Chicken. You know, I went out and got some good food, and I've been training. I've been in the gym. We did an 8-week camp, and we're heading towards our last, I want to say, 12 days, last couple weeks, little wrap up. As far as licensing and stuff like that to get the MRIs, sometimes that could be timely manner. You got to keep all that stuff on time to make sure the fight can happen, because if some of those things could be out of date, that stuff outside of the ring. So I guess that stuff is sometimes, because it's not in the ring, it's a little mental. You got to get it done.
For sure.
Champ, I got to ask you, long time ago, and obviously now, you guys in different weight classes, but Is there any interest in avenging that knockout defeat in the amateurs to Castillo Clayton?
So there's been a, I won't lie to you, I don't even know what a black ball is, but so I fought for Team Canada. I ended up going to Jamaica really quick, and it was because I was a gold medalist. I never made it to any of the 4-year events. It seemed like they were sending bronze medalists over me. I did never fight Castillo Clayton. My family's from Nova Scotia, and we don't live far from where the Claytons grew up. And there's a huge history out there. And Castillo's at 147. He's a bit smaller. The only time I've met Castillo was when I was centralized for Team Canada in Montreal.
So.
And I never got to spar with him, not a day.
So. Okay, cool. Because it's interesting, like, Boxrec, they got to amateurs, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah, all messed up.
I know how it would go, right? Like, I know it's not, they're not putting everything. They usually only put, like, the major events, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, damn, he ain't fight from 2010 to 2015 and not one major Canadian event. So I found that interesting, because it's like, damn, how you go from 2010 to 2015 with nothing? But definitely wanted to ask you about that because, you know, that's a name that we know very well. Somebody who I met because he's relocated here from Canada, or at least for camp.
Nice.
You know, damn, what's my God? There's one of the trainers.
Eric?
Yeah, Coach Eric. He came from Canada. He moved his entire gym from Canada out here. So, you know, he's doing he's doing his thing out here.
That's a big move. Yeah, that's big. That's big.
So
Shout out to the boxing in Vegas.
Yes, sir. So is that a fight that, obviously, you guys ain't never fought, but is it a fight that interests you, though?
Like he said, you're a bit smaller.
Even if you want to meet at even like a 150 or something, I would love to do it.
Mm.
I ain't going to 147, though. I can't. Like I'm saying, those guys are kind of small.
I mean, wouldn't that be the point, though?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be the point? You get the advantage?
Like, I got a body that can go up to heavyweight.
Mm. How tall are you?
Yeah. I'm 6'3" plus.
Okay. That is tall, but you got to keep in mind, look at Jamal James. But moving forward, we got Brandon in Houston. It says, what's up, Joshua? Thanks for coming on the show. Let's say you were going into your next fight on February 25th and you had to deal with one of these things. Which do you think would be the easiest to overcome and still get the win? One guaranteed awful judge or an incompetent referee?
Either way. I think the game plan that I put into plan has nothing to do. The judge is only there to keep us protected. And then the people on the outside of the ring, if you do a highly classical thing, I mean, if you outclass, like they say, well, like I want to go into people's backyard and take their belts from them. So you can't just do a split decision. You got to go and take what's yours. So I think on this weekend, I'm going to take what's mine. And I can't wait to start leaving my hometown and going out there for these small titles, big titles for every fight I need.
I got Rue in a 504 New Orleans that says, your dad told the Gleaner that he thinks bigger fights are on the horizon for you. When do you think you will get these fights? I mean, I think it's extremely early to be talking about big fights only your first year in boxing.
Right.
But, yeah. You breaking up, champ.
I did. Sorry about that. I'm moving a lot. I did sign that 2-year with an opt-out deal with my promoter, United Promotions, and I'm happy with him. But it seems like I was looking for, in my mind, when I was in the amateurs, I did about roughly almost 100 fights, and the whole time I wanted to be in the pros. Like, the whole time I wanted to be here. So now that I'm here, I think I am going to enjoy the process a lot more than rushing it as I did through the amateurs. I was doing 22 fights a year, 30 fights a year, and it was hard to get fights sometimes. So,
How many were you able to get all together before turning pro?
90-some.
Oh wow! So
I wasn't counting. Like after a while, I wasn't counting. I ended up going to Poland for Jamaica and winning tournaments in Poland. I ended up winning the Caribbean Championships for Jamaica. I won a lot of tournaments for Jamaica. I went up to Thailand and put on top.
Five for Jamaica, you know, my first international tournaments and stuff, and first cash tournaments and things like that. And just seeing the best fighters from Asia and Oceania and, like, from different around the world, I think it was the best thing for me.
Did you get to meet any of the great, I mean, and I say that loosely because I know people going to take shots, but obviously
yeah.
you got your Nathan Gallimore's, you got your what's my man named it for? Oh my God, I can't believe
Nicholas Walters.
Yeah, Nicholas Walters. I just seen he was back training. Have you been able to meet any of the bigger name Jamaican fighters?
So I'm fortunate, and you know I'm happy. So ever since I was in Jamaica, I now currently the Olympic 22 Olympian heavyweight from Jamaica trains with at the same gym with me and my father. He moved up with us. And when I go back to Jamaica, those guys always come up to the old nationals in Jamaica and stuff like that, and they do show face. So I have had the pleasure of running into, you know, a lot of people, and God rest his soul, Hector Rocker was always out there. And I did love chatting with him in his earlier days, for sure. Like some of the Jamaican legends, you know, Axeman, Gardner, yes, I've actually had the chance to meet him. I would love to get in the ring with him. Just to, you know, because you get to learn stuff from people. And, you know, they're amazing people.
I got Lids Low in Decatur, Georgia, that says, what it do, champ? Do you have your eyes on any particular person at 154, or can anyone get it? My audience is rushing you. You know, they don't understand prospect right now, but feel free to answer.
And the funny thing is, I have a team behind me that helps me not make those quick ups myself, because I guess if I was, I don't even read the contracts that come in. I look at the round and I look at the weight and I go back to training. So as far as looking at names and stuff, I think every man can get it. And at this point, it's a stepping stone to the top, because I know back in the day they used to do certain amount of fights to get ranked and whatever, but I'm willing to spend some time. I got about 9 years in the game, so I'll be there.
Absolutely, man. And we know Cody Crowley well, and, you know, he believes he's a draw in Canada, but he's been fighting in America as he got with PBC. What is your goal? Again, do you believe you can be like a Boutte and John Pascal and Adonis and bring people to you, or would you prefer to come to America and fight in one of the meccas of boxing?
Most definitely. I would love to travel the world. I've never been to England, but most definitely America is where the best boxers, as far as I've seen traveling, and like historically, they've got some numbers, and they got a lot of, like, I want to say a lot of opportunities out there. So as far as if you meet the right person, or if you rub shoulders and someone likes you, it could change real quick. So, I used to live in the States. I used to play basketball out there, so I am willing to go back. Yeah.
Well, Joshua, those are the last of our questions. Let everybody know where they can follow you, and let everyone know how they can get tickets to your fight.
Obviously, you know, what, a week away now, so definitely want to get those tickets out.
Thank you, man. Hey, big shout out to the Boxing Voice and Nez and Danny, man. Thank you for this opportunity. Once again, people, my name is Joshua Frazier. You can reach me at joshuafrazier.com. Social medias, you can search my name at Joshua Frazier or Jay Frazier Boxing. And basically, tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.ca. Tickets, search United Boxing. And put in that unlock fighter code, Frazier, who's my last name. And I really do appreciate you guys for this moment and this opportunity to just learn and just get better. This is like my first of a handful of interviews, and I can't wait until we become a household. So thank you guys for the opportunity.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you coming on and telling us your story. Send our love to Russ Amber. We appreciate him as well. Keep doing your thing, champ. After the win, we'll be more than happy to get you back on for the victory lap.
Let's do it. Thank you guys for this moment. And, you know, everyone, we'll shout out the Boxing Voice. Nez and Danny doing an amazing job, man. I'm a pleasure to be on your show, man. Thank you.
Thank you, bro.
As are we to follow your career, man. Keep doing your thing. We need another big name out of Canada, brother.
It means a lot. See you guys soon.
All right, brother. There you have it, Joshua Frazier. He's going to be doing Battle February 25th, Big Little Small. We interview them all.
Yes, sir.
Make sure to reach out to us if you have a prospect that you believe needs to shine. You know, boxing brings us together. I seen someone by the name of McDonald say, oh, wow, I watched this guy fight twice live in Canada. So, you know, always a pleasure to have these young prospects on and put people on them and see who already knows them. But for anyone that wanted to ask Joshua a question, the link was pinned on our live chat. It is best for you to be a Patreon to ask anybody that we have a question, that we have as a guest a question. Right now we have a poll with over 460 votes. Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder in talks for a four fight. Will you buy the pay-per-view? 40%, Danny. What do you think they said? Don't look. You look.
No, I don't have it. You can see I don't have it.
What do you think they said, 40%?
40%, will you buy the pay-per-view? No, seen it three times already.
Yes. 26%, no. 14%, and fire sticking it. 20%, please, no. We've seen it three times. 40% is huge.
That's
crazy. They must have analytics. That's why they're talking again. That's insane. I didn't think that I would see that number that big.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Wow.
I didn't either. Like, yeah, I don't know. I think...
I mean, look, honestly, what world could Wilder win?
Landing that magical shot.
Not even. Not even. He ain't even... The shot ain't even there no more. Bro, that shot in the third fight.
That shot always there.
No.
He dropped him in the third fight, bro.
But he takes it, bro. No shot was cleaner. Listen, no shot was cleaner than the last fight where his body fucking rippled like the ocean with the right hand. Like, bro, the fat in his forehead rippled and it went through his chest to the shoulder. Bro, that shit was insane. And Fury still got up. I just, listen, some dudes you just can't knock out. Can't knock out. And his recovery time is insane. For Wilder to get him out of there, it will have to be accumulation. And he's going to have to work on a tank. It's got to be
let me
he got to put in that road work. It got to be – like, he got to land
you,
that – let me just say, he got to land that right hand. Fury got to get up. He got to jump right on him. And the ref – there's no other way, but Fury's legs is too good. He knows how to clinch. I don't see it. I don't see it. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be honest with you. Can never count Wilder out with that shot, but it's just like, bro, I ain't going to lie. It's like, I just feel like he got the number. He could take the shot. Feel like he just knows how to beat Wilder at this point.
He knows how to roll with punches. He knows how to clinch. He goes to the body. He does roll work. It's just a very tall task. Like, you know, Wilder would need to really work on that tank. You got to work. Maybe he got to come out here, high elevation, do the mountain, so that when he comes down, you know, because did I love everything I seen in the first two rounds of the third fight? Yeah, but all this head movement, he got tired. It was too much. He needs to do all that at a calmer pace, you know, not have the anxiety get to him, and them punches got to count.
The one thing that Fury won't have in a potential fourth fight is the Vegas training camp anymore.
Because he can't get in the States.
You
is
know.
That still official?
Well, I don't know about his status on that end. I know that he sold his home in Henderson. So, you know what I'm saying? All his belongings in said home were shipped back to him. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I mean, from my understanding, that's why the home was sold. Because it's like, I can't get back to my American house, you know what I'm saying, get rid of it. That being said, I took a lot of respect to Fury seeing him in that training camp for the third Wilder fight. And when we talk about that level of work.
He'll still have Sugar, though. Sugar's gone over there. And they always get good sparring partners over there.
Yeah.
He's run hella miles in Marbella.
Bro, they used to have that gym word is born 110 degrees inside. Like, that gym used to be something unbearable.
I mean, I don't think that those conditions can't be replicated. I think that they can. You know, Fury's rich enough to fly Frank out there and all the sparring partners and make Frank, you know, the gym guy and set everything up the way he's used to in Vegas.
If
he wants.
If they want.
He's rich enough.
It's definitely going to be way more expensive than being in Vegas. Like, the thing was, being in Vegas.
Yeah, because in Vegas you get free sparring.
You get free sparring. You get the work here.
I don't know. You know, CYP, I see what you're saying, but it's nowhere near the same. He's like, you guys pay for Canelo fights knowing he's going to win. It won't be, and it won't be competitive, but for Wilder, you have standards. I mean, Canelo's never lost twice, and we're paying for a third fight that's technically a fourth fight because of a draw. I think that this is a very unique situation, and we shouldn't pull other people into it. Like, there was a draw. Then there was another fight.
And I'm gonna be honest.
Then there was a rematch.
I'm honestly cool with this. Say, is it, like, I just want to see. I gotta see something else. Like, it can't be just Hellenius. I need something else more than Hellenius before. You get what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, I get you. Like, yeah, we would want to see.
And I voted no. We've seen it three times.
I get what you're saying, but at the same time. Other than Joe Joyce and Usyk, is there anyone else that we think can challenge? I ain't even saying defeat. Challenge Fury.
I mean.
And he stared at me deep. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck? Who,
yeah, I mean.
Who, am I lying or what?
Nah, I mean.
My man just took a minute. I'm like, yeah, what I said wrong.
Yeah, nah. I mean, you said Joe Joyce, Usyk. Yeah, I throw.
Joe Joyce, Usyk, Wilder. That's it. I don't. Who else? I mean, I would love to say Bacoli, but he ain't done enough. I feel like maybe those clubbing shots, but, like, it's Fury,
bro. Challenge Fury?
Challenge. Like, not just anybody can challenge you and step in the ring. I'm talking about challenge you,
yeah.
Push you, do what Wilder
yeah.
did.
I'm sorry. And you might can get mad, but I'm throwing Jared's name in there. Keep in mind, though, I saw their sparring.
Yeah,
but
you saw their sparring. Are any of the three matchmakers going to make that fight?
As long as Fury is champion, no.
So then it ain't him.
But you just said he can challenge, and I...
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, to challenge, your promoter got to let you do it.
I mean, shit, do we...
And, Matt, by the way, you brought him up. Who's he fighting? April 8th is around the corner.
Yeah, man. I don't even... Yeah.
Oh, so you know who he's fighting already?
Nah, I don't.
And you don't like it?
No, I know, like, four individuals.
CYP, your standards done drop, huh?
I know a few individuals.
It's hard to be a Wilder fan these days. My man said he don't got to win. He just got to make the money. That shit is sad.
I mean, I'm not trying to throw him in there. I just don't want, like, Wilder, I've said it time and time again, we got to give him his flowers. We got to give him his praise. We got to give him his love and appreciation that he so rightfully deserves, right? So the thing with Wilder, I don't want him to end up in a situation like Gabe is right now that, you know what I'm saying? It's like they're trying to treat him like sacrificial lamb. Like, no, I want Wilder to come in and I want him to have his best opportunity to win. And I like, you know what I'm saying, the training camp and the work that he's put in with Malik. And I think that they can continue to improve and do great things.
Gerald Washington looking good with Malik. I mean, it's Instagram clips, no spawn we get to see, but just the work that he's absorbing, it's the knowledge, he looking good with Malik. I ain't gonna front. I like Malik as a trainer, but they need to bring in, this is bad because they got Joey Scott, who's got background with Coach Larry Wade, but, like, it's obvious it is stamina, you know. You need more stamina to beat Fury. If there was one thing you had to pick to give Wilder in this fourth fight to ensure he gets the win, what do you think it is? Is it more power? Is it more combination punches? Is it more stamina? What do you think the key ingredient would be?
I think that, for one, he would have to have a gas tank from hell.
So more stamina.
I think that we would need to see him in the 220s.
Okay, more weight, too.
Slightly. I didn't like, I forget which fight he
first
came in.
First fight was 209.
Yeah, but there was one he put on. So it was the second he put on a fuck ton of weight.
Mm-hmm.
I think you keep him 225, 230.
I mean, I believe he was around that weight one of those fights. Oh, I'm going to look
it
up.
I think the last thing with Wilder, you know, you just keep working on the way he came out. Remember, he came out that third fight shooting a jab. He was using levels. I remember shooting a jab to the stomach, shooting it to the chest, shooting it to the face. But you going
third fight 238, second fight 231.
That's closer to what I like.
First fight, they say 212, but I swore it was 209. And remember, he never got naked. Like, he had pants on for the first fight.
No, I think 209 was on the night.
Hmm. Okay.
I thought
it was definitely the weigh-in, because I know that there was, like, video of you could hear him saying that he was, you know, it was cold. He had the jacket, but... and that he was sick, but I thought it was 209. It's registered as 212, so that's not bad. 212.5. But we got callers. Let me get to Dark Prince. Dark Prince on Twitter, are you there?
Yo, what's good?
How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Cannot complain. Appreciate it, man. Thank you for asking.
Thank you for having us. What are we talking about? A four fight?
That's the word on the curb.
But, you know, that's not legit, bro, right? I mean, that's BS. They ain't fighting a fourth time, right?
I mean, that's what's being reported.
But who's reporting it, though? That's what I'm wondering. Because a lot of times we see these salacious headlines, but they ain't real headlines, you know what I mean?
I hear you. Does this mean you don't want it?
Don't want it? Is that a rhetorical question, bro?
Nah, it's a real question. We got a poll and everything, bro. You sound like you don't want it, but we got a poll where 41% say they're willing to pay for it, not steal it. The option
well,
to steal
I mean,
it.
I that doesn't surprise me. The LDBC is a strong movement, and contrary to popular belief, they support their own, right? They bought that last Wilder pay-per-view.
I mean,
brother bought the last Wilder pay-per-view.
But that one only did 70,000 and some change. So if that was a strong movement the way you believe, they would have supported that at least to 250. Like, Juan
well,
Manuel
I mean,
Marquez
I mean,
and Baby Bull did like 225.
Well, I mean, those two guys were way more established than whoever Wilder fought last. You know what I mean? So, I mean, and I really don't care
don't
about
know.
The numbers. I'm one of those fans.
I
don't get
that.
Into the numbers.
I don't know that I can say that. Baby Bull was known in San Antonio, but you got to keep in mind that Hellenius has fought in Dillian White in the U.K., then went to New York.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, hold up, bro. Oh, hold on. Are you really trying to say Hellenius was more of a well-known boxer than Juan Diaz, who
yeah.
was a legitimate world champion?
Yeah.
You might need to do your Googles on Baby Bull, bro.
But
do them Googles, because he was a more well-known champion.
But I'm telling you the facts on him, right? Like, he's only done 225.
No, you're not.
If you let me finish, he's only done 225 with Marquez. That's his biggest fight. It was a rematch, and he retired super early. He was only known in Texas. I'm really failing to realize how he's bigger than a dude that's fought internationally, lives in Helsinki, right? Fought in UK, fought in America, got two upsets on American television, then fought Deontay Wilder. Not to mention, Hellenius probably fought, what's that dude, Maurice Vaak as well. I mean, I don't know. Baby Bull, doesn't have the resume.
He doesn't have the resume. Come on, bro. What baby boy?
To give him international exposure? Like, what are we talking about?
Again, I don't. I'll let you know what I'm talking about, sir. First and foremost, Baby Bull was a world-recognized champion. So that already gives him a bigger profile in the boxing community than someone who doesn't. Hellenius, come on, bro. I mean, we already saw Hellenius' ceiling before Wilder put him out on a stretcher and won. We knew he was going to go out. We didn't know he was going to go out like
that.
But come on, to compare his profile to Baby Bull.
True, though? You said we saw his ceiling.
Is what not true? I'm sorry.
You said we saw his ceiling. You said we saw his ceiling. So my counter to that is, wouldn't his ceiling at the time, wouldn't that have been going 12 with Dillian? Then he busts through
that ceiling
by getting two upset wins.
Well, again, I'm not going to sit here and speak for everybody. I can only speak for myself, right? If we're being factual and actual. And actually, I had Hellenius going out in maybe four. Maybe four. Again, him going out in one, no one expected. But again, my whole point is we can't try to say Baby Bull had more notoriety, more recognized in the boxing community champion than Hellenius. I mean, I'll put it to you this way, right? You're saying Baby Bull was big where?
In Texas.
In Texas, okay. Even if that were true, which it wasn't, but even if it were true, he is a bigger attraction in Texas than Hellenius was in Helsinki. What were the gate numbers on Hellenius' fight in Helsinki?
No, you're right about that, but who's more known internationally?
If we're talking about who's more known internationally, I'm going to point to the world champion, because the world champion is the champion internationally, is he not?
I mean,
if you're a world champion, you're internationally world known.
Yeah, but how are you going to say because you won a belt, you're internationally world known without leaving the country, brother?
Bro,
that don't make sense. Just because you win a belt don't mean they know you in fucking Russia or Helsinki.
Yes, but fortunately, we have lots of data, my friend, that tells us that people in Russia watch the boxing that us Americans put on TV.
Guess who they saw?
Baby Bull.
Tell me.
In wars.
Okay.
Borderline classic.
So tell me.
They saw Pauly Malignaggi.
No, wait a minute.
They saw Pauly Malignaggi beat him in his hometown and have to tell the people how corrupt the sport is.
But I also want him to tell me. Let me just get this off. Please tell me where I can find these Russian stats that you claim. Because you're saying they seen him in Russia. Show me the stats. How can I find that? Because that is a lie.
Oh, cool. Google HBO viewership numbers in Russia.
Okay.
I got you, my guy. HBO viewership in Russia.
Viewership.
I mean, I'm not one of these guys. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm one of these guys that has all the research and the numbers sitting right under my ass and I'm keeping it warm, ready to throw out on Twitter wars. That's not me. I just like to watch the fights and talk about boxing with guys who like to talk about boxing.
We cannot move on because you spewed a lot of information that you claim is true, so now it's our turn. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to be clear, the only information I'm spewing is that Juan Diaz is a more well-known figure in the boxing community and more highly regarded figure in the boxing community than Hellenius. That's the only figure I want to dispute right now.
What we're disputing is that you said he's more internationally known because he's a world champion.
I have pulled up Google Trends, right? I have pulled up Google Trends. This is a worldwide on all platforms, YouTube, Google, anything where you search somebody's name. This has been around since 2004. So since 2004, Adam.
Is it in Russia?
Worldwide.
Worldwide, my friend.
But
are you sure it's in Russia, though, fam? Because you know Russia has different limitations to what the people can do on the internet.
Well, you send us the Russian numbers then. How about that? Because you got it. So you send us the Russian numbers.
But like I said, fam, I'm not trying to hang my hat on Russian numbers because that's not what I'm trying to argue. The bigger point.
Because I'm trying to tell you that Robert Hellenius has been searched worldwide in the history of Google worldwide since 2004, three times more than Juan Diaz. That means people on a phone, people on a phone is putting in that name more. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Worldwide.
Hey, but it's not in Russia, though. You see what I'm saying? All you have to do is let these clowns bark, and then you see the holes in their argument. Who's next?
I got to go. How this dude is going to say Russia? Juan Diaz is from Texas with Mexican descent. Juan Manuel Marquez is Mexican from Mexico, but he wants the numbers from Russia. And then when we Google it, he says, well, Russian people are not capable of using the internet like us. So basically, you're bringing up a point that has no fucking ceiling or floor. You're just pushing the goalposts back. And then Danny uses Google Trends, which is worldwide, and you still don't want to factor that in. Like, bro, we can't do this with you. CYP, what's up?
Yo, you know the crazy thing is? He's barely like a narrow margin in his home country of the United States. But go ahead.
Y'all know what I'm about to cook. I'm about to cook some of the Louisiana gumbo. Shout out to my man Jeremiah Phillips on YouTube. He's funny as hell. But listen, I find it funny, yo. I find it funny. And y'all know if I say I find something funny, I'm about to find something funny. We complain about pay-per-view buys. That's cool. But you can't complain about opponents at the same time. You got to pick one. You either care about the buys or you care about the opponent. You barely get a great opponent and great buys. Let's just cut that Canelo versus Triple G one. That's it. It's very hard to get two great opponents and great numbers. Now, if let's just say Tank fought a no-name his next fight and did 500K. Some people are going to be happy as hell about that 500K, but most of y'all are going to say, Tank fought a nobody. But bitch, he just did 500K. What? I thought y'all was mad that he was doing 200. So let's say Ryan, he fights Ryan, and it does 200K. See, I told you it wasn't no fucking story. They only did 200. But it was a good opponent. See, y'all are full of shit. This is why boxing promoters don't listen to us. Because we're fragile. We just come up with shit because we don't like somebody. We don't stand on nothing. When you say you want good opponents, and they put opponents, and they put them on pay-per-view, you don't even buy the shit. Andre Ward, Kovalev. You motherfuckers have lost your credibility when it comes to telling them what you want. They don't care because you're liars. You just be talking, me included. Fuck us as a collective. We just be running our goddamn mouths. So while the Series 4 can make money, they're going to do it. They don't care about you. Cry, do pose all you want to. If it can make money, they're going to fucking do it. You know why? Because I'll keep crying about no numbers. So they're going to give you a fight that's going to do numbers, and you still going to cry? Which one is it? Which one is it? Do you want numbers? Do you want versus Bud to do great numbers? Or do you just want the fight? Because I can guarantee some of you fuckers, if that fight do 100K, 200K, you bitches gonna come back here complaining about the numbers. But I thought you just wanted the fight. Make your mind up, you motherfuckers. Y'all are insane. Y'all insane. Lastly, there's a whole bunch of legends out there who got 5 losses, 6 losses, 10 losses. Depends. Some of their losses, y'all never seen. They fought a nobody and lost. It wasn't on pay-per-view when they lost. They lost to somebody that y'all had never fucking heard of. It was embarrassing. You didn't even see the fight. But if Wilder fights Fury and loses again, that's so dramatic to you. That's going to break your fucking heart. You're going to be so goddamn mad. Like, you can name all 5 of Ali's losses right now. Go ahead. Name them. You can't. You have to Google it. You have to Google it. But when you look at Wilder's career, you say, damn, this motherfucker lost 2 times, 3 times to one dude. You remember all of them because you saw them all. That's how you know he's a legendary fighter, because you've seen all his fights, wins and losses. Some of them losses from your favorite fighters you've never even seen. How many of y'all seen them Pacquiao early losses? You didn't. You didn't. How many of y'all have seen them? You don't. That's the difference. Y'all all are fucking taught, and I'm always here to put the new sheriff in town. Y'all Barney Fife. And welcome to Mayberry. CYP out.
David Maldonado, what up?
Yeah, what's up, Ness? I kind of agree with CYP. There's a lot of fighters that have losses early in their career, like the screenshot I sent you. Alexis Arguello lost 2 of his first 5 fights, and one of them was by knockout, and he's still a legend. Anyway, believe it or not, I'll pay for that Wilder Fury 4, because even though Fury already showed that he's the better man, to me, the division is so bad that I still think Wilder has the best chance of beating him out of everybody there. You know, he got the heart to die in that ring if he has to. He got the punch to put him down and hurt him. I mean, he might just be able to land the punch even better and more solid and put him out. Not that I'm saying he'll win, but that's one of the few heavyweight fights that I would pay for. I'll definitely pay for Wilder versus Fury, because I think Wilder and Fury would beat everybody else in that division. I would like for Wilder to get another fight under his belt. I would like to see Wilder beat an AJ or somebody like that.
I mean, I don't even need somebody that big, but, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, even if he would have fought Andy, because the truth is, I think Wilder would have flattened Andy inside 3 rounds, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Nobody in that division is skilled enough to avoid getting hit with that right hand but Fury. And I can't even say Usyk, because Usyk would go to sleep, too, if he get hit. So, yeah, I would pay for Wilder Fury, even though I think Fury would beat him, but why not? That's the only guy in that division that could beat him. Like CYP said, Wilder only lost to Fury. I don't see anybody else beating Wilder in that division. That's a testament to him. And I was never a Wilder fan, but I got to call it out. I see it. Sign me up. I'll pay for that. And Ness, I seen you had a show yesterday. I didn't see it, though. In all due respect, because I'm tired of that, man. Until I see Spence versus Crawford, done deal. Until then, man, what happened? They really talking about fighting? Is that for real?
That is the, that was yesterday's report. Yes, that, you know, they are, you know, back to negotiations. There's a real possibility that it happens.
So the Thurman fight is off then?
No, the Thurman fight, obviously, if they can't get it going, that's where they're headed.
They need to scratch that Thurman fight then, because if they're going to have a Thurman fight, Crawford's going to fight somebody else, and then Spencer's going to fight somebody else, and then they're going to be 40, when the Crawford's going to be 40, and then Spencer's going to be 35. So, nah, let's get to Ryan and Tank. Is that going to happen? I thought that shit was going to be announced at the Super Bowl, man.
I mean, that was just an internet rumor, and a lot of people wishfully, you know, hoping.
Because I know they made Ryan a new offer, man. I hope he, you know, come on, man. This is like boxing becoming like a strip club, man. You're getting, it feels like I'm getting cock teased over here. You know what I'm saying? Pause. For real. Spence Crawford never happened. And now they're talking Ryan Tank. Now I'm wondering if this shit's going to happen. What the heck? Ridiculous, man. The only big fights we're getting this year is Haney and Lomachenko and Teo and Josh Taylor, man. That's my call, man.
All right, all right, all right. So I do want to screen share the Google Trends just to prove that the young man that called in, you know, was not talking facts and just opinion. As you can see, January 2004, the blue line is Juan Diaz. Back in 2004, Robert Helenius was still more popping. As you can see, a 3 versus a 5. Keep going. And Diaz in 2005 jumps to a 10. Keep going. Helenius, more popular. More popular. Keep looking at the red. They're even there in 206. There, Helenius, more popular. Keep going. He's still more popular. Still more popular. There, in May 2007, Juan Diaz is a 5 versus a 3. Keep going. Juan Diaz gets a bump in 2007. He's still a 2 versus a 3. Then he gets a bump in October. 12 versus a 3, 10 versus a 2, 8 versus a 3, another 17 versus a 2, and that's 2009. Keep going, 4 versus 3, 10 versus 3, 21 versus 12. But again, keep in mind, Helenius in 2010 was a fucking 12. Keep it going. 19 for Helenius, 4. For Juan Diaz. Now, Juan Diaz is disappearing, and Helenius, obviously, way more popular throughout the rest of the years, as you can see, Helenius on the graph in red, significantly more popular. But if you look at Juan Diaz in his heyday, when he was in his prime, Helenius was still in competition very closely. Look, a 6 and a 3, a 6 and a 2, a 3 and a 3. A 3 and a 3, a 4 and a 5. Like, it's just facts, man. People would love to say whatever they want, thinking that, you know, the research isn't available and the answers aren't available, but they are. So, you know, your best bet is to say, give me the numbers from Russia. Give me them numbers from Russia, man. That's what I want. It's like, what the hell is he talking about? No, check the viewership from HBO from Russia. Then when you start looking for that, well, remember that in Russia, they can't use the internet like over here. And it's like, bro, stop pushing the goalposts, man. Like, either you want the fight or you don't want the fight, but stick to that. Like, making things up is pretty corny. But we are going to go to some callers. We do have our phone lines open. You can call in 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 time to voice your opinion. And remember, if you're looking for a second call, it's not free. $5 Cash App, $5 Super Chat with the words Counterpunch or the abbreviation CP gets you back for a second time, obviously, because we have tons of other people to get to. And, you know, we can't go back and just argue with you because you got your point wrong and you're trying to be right. So we're going to get to what looks like Raphael in Ohio. What's up?
What up, y'all?
What's
what
good?
Up, y'all? In Detroit right now, though, just chilling. When you said Juan Diaz, are you talking about Juan Diaz who lost to Marquez and Paulie Malignaggi, the former champ? Hello?
Yes, Juan Diaz fought both those men.
Right. Why were you guys putting him and Helenius side by side? And the only reason I'm asking because I'm just tuning into the show.
Man, I don't even know how. Oh, because of pay-per-view numbers, right? Juan Diaz and Juan Manuel Marquez did about 225, I believe.
I'm sorry. That was on. I thought that was on. I remember seeing that fight. I don't remember it being on pay-per-view though.
I'm pretty sure they had a rematch. No. Pretty sure it was
no.
two, but I'll double check.
Paulie Malignaggi and Juan Diaz had the rematch. Remember, Juan had the controversial fight the
went
first
over
time,
Malignaggi.
And yes, and then they came back and did it again. I think in Chicago, and Malignaggi won that. But I just wanted to answer about Fury versus
but for argument's sake, who's more popular to you?
As far as which fighter, Fury and Wilder?
No, Juan Diaz and Robert Helenius.
I would have to say Juan Diaz because he HBO televised a lot of his fights. I didn't know who Robert Helenius was, to be honest with you, until he fought Tyson Fury.
And that's I don't know that Robert Helenius fought Tyson Fury, but that's a respectable answer.
Right.
But again, you're an American watching American
mm-hmm.
boxing, and I was specific to tell
right.
that last caller that Helenius was more internationally known because if you go through Helenius's resume, he's the one that's fought globally. He's the one that had already
okay.
fought Dillian White in the United Kingdom before he fought Deontay Wilder. Before he fought Deontay Wilder, he was the one to come over to America and upset Adam Kovnacki in Brooklyn
twice,
being a dude from Helsinki.
You're right. Who he's the Nordic Viking, Helenius.
Yep.
I'm thinking of the dude who busted up Tyson Fury's face. The dude from Germany,
You thinking the dude from Sweden, his name is Otto Wallin.
Yes. Yeah, so when you're saying Hellenius, I have Otto, I have Wallin on my mind. Yeah, I did know who Hellenius was. And I think, like you said, me being American, I agree with you totally. Because I saw both those fights with the dude he fought was Polish. I don't know how to pronounce his name. You said it, but I've seen both those fights on HBO. No, one was on HBO and the other fight was, I forget the network it was on, but it was they just fought a second time, like when, like 2021 or something.
Who?
The Polish guy Wozniak and Hellenius when they fought the second time.
Oh, you talking about Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah, they fought twice back-to-back, I'm pretty sure. I'll pull
right.
it up.
But one of them wasn't on HBO, though. I may be wrong. I seen the first one. I seen both fights.
Are you talking
but I
about Robert Hellenius? Because if you're talking Robert Hellenius, then you know, neither of those Adam Kovnacki fights were on HBO.
Oh, God, where did I see the fight at? Okay. Okay,
both
I'm
you've
wrong
seen
here.
On
yeah,
PBC.
Yeah.
Those were PBC fights that
okay.
happened in Brooklyn and one happened in T-Mobile.
Right, I remember that. I remember it happening in Brooklyn. Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, I guess that's all I got to say, man. Thank you for letting me speak my point, man.
Yeah,
no
that
worries.
T-Mobile was undercard, obviously, of the co-promotion for the Wilder Fury 3 card. Man.
Again, and Hellenius was on the undercard of Wilder Fury. Like, to think that, first of all, we didn't invent this phrase. It's not that I'm trying to be right, but, like, I didn't invent the heavyweight division is the casual division. I didn't invent that phrase. It was here before you got here. It was here before I got the boxing. Also didn't invent that the heavyweight brings out the casual. I didn't invent that phrase. It was here before I got into boxing. But y'all want me to believe that Juan Diaz...
Yo, and
he's Mexican and from Texas, he's more popular
you gotta
than the
remember,
fucking heavyweight.
You have to remember, too, that fight, and I know I'm sorry I had to step away, you know, international call, but, you know, we're going to London now, the phone won't stop ringing. But, yo, that fight, bro, don't forget, that was a Fox fight. They did 1.5 million homes for that fight. His first fight with Kalnacki at Barclays? Bro, that did 1.5 on Fox.
Meanwhile, Juan Bull and them got 225, I think.
Let me tell you, I actually got paid to host a live fight party for that fight. They rented
for what?
For Kalnacki versus Hellenius.
Mm.
Why? Because boxing doesn't get on free TV. A lot of casinos have deals, so they can't show certain networks. That was free TV. So someone in the boxing world was able to rent out one of the bars inside one of the hotels on the strip. They rented the entire bar out, had like 200 people there for that fight. And I'm not saying that they were there because of the fight, but they was there because
Bro,
of the
there's
fight.
There's not even viewership numbers for this fight. I was confusing Juan Manuel Marquez and Timothy Bradley with this fight.
Mm.
That's the one that was on pay-per-view, right?
That was pay-per-view.
This ain't even pay-per-view. Was this ever pay-per-view?
Which one?
Juan Marquez and Diaz. Because they had two fights. I thought one was at least on pay-per-view, but the last caller said it wasn't. And I don't remember that. I mean,
yeah.
I had HBO all my life, so I probably don't know or remember. I'm looking at the fight poster for the first one. It's calling it Supremacy. They say HBO Live Saturday the 28th. It doesn't say anything about pay-per-view on there. It happened in Houston, Texas, February 28th, 2009. It was a 12-rounder, 135. Titles at stake was the WBA, WBO, 135-pound belts. And it doesn't look like it was on pay-per-view. Still can't find any sort of viewership numbers. Just that it was a tight fight at the time of the stoppage, it looks like. 75-76, everybody, a lot of people scored it too because it was some controversy, it looks like. So they had outside scoring. And they got on this here, they have a bunch of scorecards.
On what?
On this website.
On the article.
Eye of the Ring. They had like 12 different people who scored it. I don't know if they went back and rescored. But we are still taking callers. In the 253, we're going to you. Who's this? Let me pull it up. Give me a second. Line 6, Reed, what up?
Hey, Ness, I just got a quick question for you and Danny. So you guys say, like, on pay-per-views, the problem is a lot of people is pirating the pay-per-views. What
not
do
you guys
think about it?
I don't know about all that. I ain't say nothing about that, especially not today.
I always hear on the show they're saying that a lot of pay-per-view numbers is getting stolen. Okay, whatever, fuck it. But what if the promotional company said they did, like, a pre-order, like, we want to reach this number, like 1.5 million buys. If we get this number in buys pre-order, then we sign a fight. Can they do something like that to get these big fights made?
I mean, that's a good idea. It'll be like a GoFundMe where the fans are paying for the fight. Like, you really want Bud Crawford, if we get to the pre-sale of 500,000 buys, we'll get it. You know, and they give us 90
like
days
that.
To get to 500,000. Then you got another 90 days to promote and sell the fight. I love that idea, but I'm sure they have a reason why it won't work. And a lot of that reasoning is going to be injury. So you need at least 6 months right now. I could be wrong. I got no analytics. I'm pulling that number out my ass. But I'm saying, if you want us to come together and pay for 500,000 pay-per-view buys before the fight's even made, give us 3 months to do that shit. Then you got to give the fighters 3 months to train for the fight that they now got that guarantee for. Because if we come up with the 500,000 pre-orders.
I think you're giving them 2 months time. And the only reason I'm saying that is like, bro, who the fuck knows what's happening 6 months from now? Now, hear me out. Hear me out, right? Very few people is booking trips 6+ months out. Let's be realistic. Right. Very few airlines offer flights more than 6 months. Like, I think 6 months is too much of a time, bro. I think.
But didn't Floyd and Canelo have 6 months for that 10 city press tour?
No. No. And I debunked that the other day. I gave you they started that like 3 months and a week out.
All right. Now, that was 3 months and a week out for a fight they knew would sell. What I'm saying is, you want us to pay for Bud and Earl, right? Two different people. Good. Bud and Earl. You can't give us the same 90-day training camp because guess what? The promoters and the fighters not going to know, did we make our GoFundMe number of 500,000? So I'm just saying, whether it's 6 months or not, they need to give us time to pay for the 500,000, which now they got their minimums. They got their guarantees out of those 500,000 guaranteed buys that we were hypothetically able to come up with. Now they announce the fight. Now they see, yo, we got 500,000 already. That was our safe number. Now we promote. Now we go city to city and we get more. You don't want to do 90 training camp, fight promotion, plus GoFundMe. I like your idea, though, bro. I swear to God I like your idea. I really do.
Yeah, but
I really do.
I just feel like you only ask the fans to pay, you get what I'm saying?
Black Prime asked for our money in advance for Crawford, and they got it. They got it with the Avenese, and they put that out there. I mean, obviously, they kept it within the fight promotion. I'm saying for a fight of this magnitude, asking us for that much money, we need more time to get it together. But I like that idea.
I think, honestly, I think what you do, right? Yo, what's the caller's name?
Line 6 Reed.
Line 6 Reed. I think what you do and I think what's best and I think maybe even more realistic and maybe in my eyes more realistic because of the time frame. I think you're saying 6 months. I'm more of the mind state of 3 months, Ness. This is what you do. The pay-per-view is $75. You offer it $65. You get what I'm saying? You offer it.
Pre-order. Buy it now, save $10. How many people really going to do that, though? They still got their fire stick. I think it got to be a GoFundMe. It got to be what he's saying. Like, you wanted this fight. It takes us $500,000 to get it off the floor. Why not go GoFundMe route? Fuck it. I mean,
okay,
look.
Okay, so look, hold on.
I would love an outside
no,
investor
watch
to
this,
pay.
Watch this. Okay, cool. Boom. We got 90 days.
If you order it between day 61 to day 90, right? So we anywhere 3 months out, you get it for $60. If you order it 2 months out, you get it for $70. If you order it before fight week, you get it for $75. You get it on the night of, it's $85. You get what I'm saying?
I think they need
now
that.
Now you incentivize for the people. You know how many people wait to the last minute. Now the people that's waiting to the last minute, they paying you the $10 extra that you wouldn't have got. But you incentivize, and I think you get a good idea. Because, bro, let me tell you, they announced that shit, I'm going to want to show my support. You get what I'm saying? Just like you wanted to show yours the moment any shirts was made, you bought. You get what I'm saying? Bro, I'm going to be at that fight. I'm still going to want to buy the pay-per-view. There's fights that I do that for, because you have to do it in order to keep doing this, in order to keep this around, in order to keep the sport alive. You got to do that support. So I think you incentivize, bro. You incentivize the people.
I don't know. I still think the GoFundMe route is what they need. That's what they need. They don't have the money.
It's not called that. It's just early pay-per-view to help raise money. You know
no, it's GoFundMe. If we paying for it up front.
Yeah, I hope they don't put it on the GoFundMe. I mean,
not GoFundMe, but like Showtime.com. Do you want this fight? If so, pre-order now.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't make our goal, we're giving you a refund. That's fucking easy. And guess what? You eliminate the thievery, because you're going to get at least the 500,000 that want that fight so bad they're willing to pre-order. The other Fire Stick dudes, they're not going to even get involved. They want it, but they're not trying to pay. I think that's the best idea, man. That's a good question for, Chicken Talk. You guys got Espinoza on speed dial. That's a good question for Espinoza. Why can't they go GoFundMe route?
Because I'm sure there's plenty of people listening that may not like, because I don't really like the fact that he's using the word GoFundMe.
Because it's easier for people to know what I mean.
But I'm gonna put it to people in easy terms.
Early
right?
pre-sale.
Bro, Tesla does it with their cars. You literally get the car, you put a deposit down.
But everybody, Corvette had to do that. You had to order your shit 24 months out.
And that's what I'm saying. So they take your deposit.
Exactly.
Put it towards these cars.
Exactly.
And now the people that deposited, that did put the deposit in the beginning, now they're getting the car at cost. Versus now the people
who had to wait.
You know, like paying, yourself.
And paying more than the MSRBP.
MSRP.
I'm with you. I really like that. Is GoFundMe the bad word? I think so. I think it's a more recognizable phrase and word that we understand. But Showtime needs to start a Crawford Earl Spence, do you want it, pre-order. When they reach a certain amount, they good. Like, let's be real. They don't even need 500. If they could get 250,000 pre-orders off the bat, they've been able to give Bud and Earl a $10 million guarantee. We're going to do 75 because the tax ain't theirs. Look, they get 250,000 pay-per-view buys at $75 at pre-orders, $18,750,000. Like, that's their guarantee right there. You got the people to pay for it. I'm one of them 250. I'm buying that shit, even if it's out here. Like you said,
there's some fights
that you buy and you go to. This is one of them. Maybe I don't go. Maybe I buy it and I attend all fight week. You know what I'm saying? But this is a fight that you want to at least DVR. You want to be able to watch back. I like that idea. Please, Chicken Talk, ask your boy Espinoza, why we can't do that? Why can't they force us to pay for their purse?
Yo, and Chicken, yo, get in his head, Ari. Get in his head. Like, I know y'all be on there with him. Yo, bump him up, yo. Get in his head. Yo, you just got this promotion. You could be the next Elon. Look how Elon takes the pre-orders on the Teslas.
That's right.
They blowing up, and you know what I'm saying? Steven, you could do it for the fights and you know, revolutionize the sport and all, you know what I'm saying?
And let's be real. Let's try it one time. Let's try it one time to see how well we do. But I think, fuck that 500 number. 250 makes almost $19 million. That's enough. That's a guarantee. You giving Bud 8, you giving Crawford 10. That's the wrong person. You giving Earl 10, you giving Bud 8. You got 750 there to do some marketing, and then you getting all your sponsorship money. You got your concessions. And now that the fight is happening, you're going to have plenty of sponsorships. Plenty of people, oh, shit, you really doing it? I'm in. You know, I like that idea. I swear, we need to push that. I really do like that. But Ron Boy Fresh, what up?
Hey, Mo.
We listening.
That's damn near a good idea. But the problem with that is, and like you said, you don't really need all the motherfucking, you don't need all the motherfucking buys. It's just like a vote. It's just like when you vote. They don't tally up all the goddamn votes. They pretty much get an idea of how it's going to do once they get a few votes in. You dig what I'm telling you?
Mm-hmm.
So I think 150 would do good. You need 200, 150. You don't need to sell all the motherfucking pay-per-views off the bat, because they know once they did hit that 150 mark, oh, we can just pretty much multiply this. This is what the pay-per-view going to do. Now, this is the kicker, though. Who's to say that's not going to keep a boxer for renegotiating their deal after they see how well the pay-per-view sells?
No, but you telling them ahead of time, right? So we're telling Earl and Crawford, look, we're going to do a 250 pre-sale. If we get that, we giving you your guarantees of 10 and 8, plus you get pay-per-view back-end split, if anything, above that. Because now that the fight – that's just to get the fight made. Once you got it made and you pump out the announcements and you do your Force 5 City press tour, you're going to get more sales. That's just to get the show on the ground.
Just to get an idea, are we saying – the guarantee is based off the pre-sales, or
absolutely,
is the guarantee already in place?
No.
Oh,
that's
the most important thing.
That the campaign is going to be, people, do you really want this fight? We need 250 pre-sales. That's the campaign.
That's a hell of an idea. I like that. That was my whole thing. I like that. That's a damn good idea.
I'm going to be honest with you, too. Bro, you incentivize, like, bro, people love incentives, and I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yo, like, doing the pay-per-view at that cost, because, like, let's be for real. We got Mayweather Pacquiao at $100 with only 3 fights on the card. Bro, I'm not saying do 100 on the night of. Do 85. Bump it $10. Incentivize the people, not just to pre-order, but boom, pre-order. If you do it, you know what I'm saying, 3 months out, not just do you get at discounted rate, 4 lucky winners is getting flown to Las Vegas and get to be at the fight. You get what I'm saying?
And they doing that right now,
bro,
for better be this
that
plan.
Don't cost them nothing. Listen to me. We do
That's a damn good idea, though.
We do
and like
it.
You said,
you
Danny, you don't
saying?
Need all them months out. You just need like 3 months out. You don't need all them goddamn months out either. You only need about 3 months.
Yeah. I think three. Because I just think it's
three
realistic,
is a good
bro.
Month.
Three
is definitely...
But you saying 3 months for the pre-sale and for the promotion?
Yeah. I think you need about 3 months. I think that's I think that'll work.
I think
6 months is too far out, Mo. I think it's too far out.
Listen, right now it's February 14th. If they gave us a date of June 14th, you know,
that's 4 months. That's perfect.
All right, but you got two months for that pre-sale. Because if that pre-sale don't happen, we ain't got no fight.
But that's the thing, Ness. You want to give
I think
the motherfuckers, they got one night to pay. You know what I'm saying? If you want to give them 4 fucking months, boom, we're doing the Juneteenth weekend. I love it. Let's rock and roll. Cool. Month 4, you getting it at this price, 60. Month 5, you getting it at 70. Month 3, you getting it at 70. Month 2, you getting it at 80. And then night up, $85. You know what I'm saying? Like, cool. But
I like that idea. I agree with you, Ness. Just run it one time at least. God damn. See if it'll work. God, they got to do something. Shit.
Bro, I think it will work. We've already we've already showed that, you know, we pay for what we want.
Yeah.
And this is the only thing they haven't done is, and I think it eliminates thievery because you're going to get the genuine.
Well, it won't eliminate it. It's just, you'll just get your money. Like, you'll get an idea of what you really go. It ain't going to eliminate.
You're right.
It,
you're right.
You know,
elimination is the wrong word, but you definitely, you're definitely going to get less stealing.
Yeah,
because
someone, you're going to have more, but
some of us have to be the ones to make up that mandatory minimum. Yeah, there's going to be cheap motherfuckers that's going to hold out like, fuck, I ain't paying. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to still fire stick it.
Right.
But that $500,000, that $250,000, we got the ball going. And I'm all right with being a $250,000. I bought Ward versus Kovalev. I bought Gennady versus David Lemieux. I bought Gennady versus Daniel Jacobs. I bought Khan versus fucking Crawford. I bought Victor Postol versus Crawford. I bought all them pay-per-views that flopped. I even bought Roy Jones versus fucking P-Hop. I was part of the 50,000. You know what else I bought?
Else?
I bought Sergio Mora versus Shane Mosley. Like,
bro,
I'm a real fan.
You know what I bought? Oh, bro, hold on.
But, Nash, you know you wrote all that shit off. Stop it.
Hey. I still bought it.
Hey, yo, but I could talk about me because my shit didn't get written off. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
bro,
I got you now. Man. See,
you know what I'm saying?
Daddy.
No, I'm just saying, like, regardless, right off or not, them pay-per-views getting bought. Them, you know what I'm saying?
I got you now. I can dig it. No, I
know what I'm saying. Like, bro, I remember last year we did one of Clarissa's fights was like $35 on fight. You know what I'm saying? That's
bro,
we bought
Mickey Bates Evan Farmer.
Yeah,
and
that
shit ain't happened.
And it ain't happened.
Bro, we bought Mickey Bates Evan Farmer. That shit ain't even happened. Like, you know
I like
saying?
That idea, bro. Yeah. Pre-sale.
No, that's a hell of an idea. That's a brilliant idea. But hold, let me get my shit real quick, though. And then y'all can cook on that. All right, man, we got to stop this whole. Motherfuckers is too emotionally attached to these boxes, man. It's getting out of hand. Let's keep it 100. How many rounds did Fury and Wilder do? About 30 total? 30, 31, 32? I can't even remember.
Let's see. They went 12 the first fight, 7 the second, right?
It can't be no more than 31.
So 19, and then how many rounds was the last one? 10?
I'm checking right now. I got Wilder pulled up. It says he
11, 12,
he went
11, 7, right?
He went 11, 7, and 12.
Yeah, so I was right.
That's 12. A lot of rounds, though.
Okay.
For people that say Wilder got blew out, that's a lot of rounds.
Hold up. No. Let me get to what I'm saying. How many rounds did Wilder win out 30 fucking rounds, bro?
I mean, you know, all the knockdown
fights. Let's be honest. How many rounds did he win?
All the knockdown rounds that he got. In that first fight, I gave him a few of them first rounds because he broke Fury's nose. Like, people don't like to give him credit. He was jabbing the shit out of Fury in that first fight.
So, I got you, Ness. So, we got 30 rounds, right? How many rounds did Wilder win, you think?
I don't know, man. I never did that math.
I think it's five or less, in my opinion.
Five or less. Five rounds out of three fights, you wilding, bro. He got like five knockdowns.
I'm not about what round. No, listen. What round did he win? He didn't win no rounds in the second fight.
He got like five. Look. In the second fight, he obviously won six rounds in the eyes of one judge because they had him 113-113. Another judge had him 111, so that means he won rounds there too. And another judge had him 112-114. Come on, champ, you wrong.
So how many? Bro, I gave him five. So at the end of the day, we don't need.
He got more than five on two judges' scorecards in the first round.
I said me. That's why I wanted your opinion, Mo. I just wanted your opinion. My shit ain't written in stone. I just said to me. But we can agree that I just don't think this shit is warranted for a fourth one. I think these motherfuckers need to clear out a side. Somebody need to fight Usyk. Somebody need to fight the juggernaut. I mean, at some point, we can't be this emotionally attached to these boxers because motherfuckers don't look at the rest of the other boxers. You know what I'm saying? That's my point. Like, come on. And this shit, the heavyweight division is a casual fucking division. That's why I don't really like talking about it. I was like, y'all motherfuckers is not really looking at boxing. Y'all looking at a boxer or two, maybe three. That's it. that's not real to me, Mo. I mean, I don't know. It is what it is. And that's the same thing with these welterweight divisions. I was like, y'all brag about a division when they ain't even doing shit. Like, we got to stop this shit. Biggest motherfuckers is just too emotionally attached to box, and it just don't make sense to me. But, nah, it's not. I'm not paying for this shit, and I would never pay for no fourth joint until one of them. Each one of them, somebody got to fight Usyk, somebody got to fight the Juggernaut. And I'm using them to me are the top four.
But,
that's all I'm saying.
But
that's
let's
just
be
me.
Real. I mean, yeah. Is it Fury's fault the Usyk fight didn't happen? Like, my man did three fights with Wilder. Yes, the third one.
Well,
then fight
the Juggernaut. Well, So cool. Why don't he fight the Juggernaut, same side of the street, after the Juggernaut dispatched Zhang, then fight the Juggernaut? We just need to see more, in my opinion, as a boxer fan. I'm not a boxing fan. I'm a boxing fan. So, and I get the business part of it. It makes good business. They not going to trick bag me to give them money. They can trick bag the casuals and all that. That's fine. I understand the business part. I don't speak on the side. And you know, every time I call, I was like, I don't speak from the side of a casual. I just don't. I understand the business part. I speak from the side of a diehard. I'm not interested in that shit. I'm interested in them two motherfuckers splitting up. Oh, fuck it. Fight Ruiz. Fuck it. Somebody, Wilder can fight Ruiz. I don't give a fuck. But this shit, we just need a little bit more. They need to do more, man. That's just my opinion on that. I'm out on that shit, though, son.
All right, champ. BYP with the counterpunch.
Talk to us.
Dímelo.
You know he called in about the scorecards.
Dímelo, Carlos, ¿cuántos rounds ganó Deontay en las tres peleas con Tyson, con el rey de los gitanes? Dímelo, Carlos, ¿cuántos rounds?
Yo, you get so tight, bro.
There we go. All right, so, you know me, I like to be factual. So the last fight, he got an average of 3 rounds. One judge gave him 4, so we can go 3.5. Second fight, they gave him 1. That's 4. Other fight, they gave him 6. That's 10. So we had 10, 10.5, 11, depending on how you want to do it, of 30. He lost 2 of the fights. How many rounds is he supposed to win if it's 30? He's supposed to win 15 of them because he lost 2 fights. You dumb fucking idiot. What he supposed to win, 16, 17 of them, the majority? He lost 2 fights. He ain't supposed to have that many rounds won. But I find it funny that you say we two emotionally connected to these boxers, but your bitch ass can't even be honest about what happened. No, nigga, you the emotional one. Think about that. You so emotional that you got to lie on a boxer, but we emotional for telling the truth, right? It's like if Canelo was suspended twice, and I could tell you that, which is true, I'm not emotional, but I'm just telling you twice. The emotional one's the one who denies that he was suspended. See that's how that works? So we're telling you that on official scorecards, fuck everybody's opinion, he won at least 10 to 11 rounds, right, on average. But you tell me, Mo, I seen less than 5, Mo.
He said,
you laugh like a bitch.
He said, we ain't talking about the judges. We talking about me.
Yeah, we talking about me. You talking about me, the unemotional one connected to these boxes. He only won 5, Mo. Laughing like a straight up hoe. But we the emotional one? If you so unemotional, my man, why don't you go buy official shit? No emotion, no connection. Tell us what officially happened and then move on. You won't do that. Because you're the real emotional one. Listen to what I'm telling y'all. The emotional ones are the ones who have to lie for their fucking boxer. You're the emotional one who can't let go of shit. You're the one who got to make him seem worse than what he is or better than what he is. That's you. Don't do that shit to us. My man, one of my best friends, he's coaching Juggernaut now, Judge Joyce. He's training him. That's my – look, y'all know I'm wilder, but I support Wade forever before boxing, after boxing, during boxing. That's one of my best friends, so that's what I do. Shout out to you live on the Boxing Voice, man, for getting Juggernaut ready for his next fight, man. You doing it fucking big out there, dog. I'm so fucking proud of where you come from and where you're going, man. Like, I really, really am. Keeping up the fucking hard work. If all you haters, you can EAD, and that stands for eat a dick. CYP out.
Big Boss Nino.
Yo, you can hear me?
Loud and clear.
All right, Nez Danny, what's good? Y'all hit that like and subscribe button. I just got in here on Ron Boy Call. See, we talking about Tyson Fury and Wilder again. To be honest, I'm not super ecstatic about this fight because I didn't see it so much now, and I just don't think Wilder can beat him, even though I think Wilder got the best shot. out of all the heavyweights, so I understand why we'll put Wilder back in there, because to be honest, that's really the closest I didn't see Tyson losing since I've been watching him is against Wilder. And like I said a couple weeks ago, I kind of feel bad for Wilder that Fury even in the division, because I don't think none of these niggas could beat Wilder except Fury. And that's why Wilder's stock took a little bit of a hit, because he was like this big-ass boogeyman, and now we see, like, shit, he ain't invincible no more. You know what I'm saying? And I seen reports about Tank being hurt or whatever on the Super Bowl, but I seen on TMZ the nigga was, like, doing a crip walk, ankle walk, or whatever the fuck he was doing on his ankles. So he looked good, but I ain't got too much. I got head in the work, man. I ain't going to take up too much time. Y'all hit that like and subscribe button. I'll get with y'all later.
All right, champ. Appreciate you calling in. Big Balls Nino. Looks like we got a couple people. Is this, let me go to Decatur, Georgia. Liz Lowe, what up?
CBV, what happened, man?
What up?
Man, everything kosher. Danny, how you feeling, man?
Man, sensational.
Good shit, bro. Good shit. First off, shout out. Y'all said that was Line 6 Reed, right, that came up with that idea?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he came up with it, but he definitely sparked that shit.
Right. I'm giving him credit because it's the first time I'm hearing this shit. So, Line 6 Reed, shout out to you. One, this. Make sure, who that is, Brandon Lenz or Canterbury in the background, whoever chop up y'all shit, make sure y'all put that on the short. You understand? That shit need to be out there. You dig what I'm talking about? Second, what are we talking about? The Wilder and the Fury? To be on some real shit, I buy that shit. I watch that shit again, bro. I ain't knocking down boxers that want to fight, bro. So if Wilder say, fuck y'all, I think I could get them one day, well, damn it, keep trying, brother. If Fury want to keep whooping your ass or beating you, you know what I'm saying? Fine, cool beans. But maybe he will pull a win out. I don't know. Fuck. As far as this Tank shit in the wheelchair, Tank, my guy, Ryan. All right, y'all on the verge of fucking up. I'm going to tell you now, if the shit real cool, but if he just riding just to be riding, like, we don't need none of the extra bullshit, my guy. Keep that, sign them fucking papers and get y'all ass in the rain, bro, because y'all finna be on some Terrence and Spence bullshit. But thanks to Line 6 Reed, I'm kind of back into the bud and Spence. If this shit can happen, cool beans. So, Ness, y'all got the voice, Danny. Y'all got the fucking ties. Man, y'all shout this shit out. Maybe we get this shit shaking and get the fucking fight we've been waiting for, even though it still ain't going to be what it was. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to Baldy. I'm out there, camp. Y'all stay up, man.
We got Mike in New York City, Queens. What up?
Hey, yo, Ness, what it do, Clay?
Another day,
CBB,
another show.
Man. Danny, what up, man? Shout out to my truck drivers, man. Word. Run this truck safe. I-95, word. But, yo, Ness, man, it's disappointing, man, you know. The pain that man Wilder inherits through them three fights. You know, I pray for him, man, word. I don't need to see that. We don't need to see that. I respect him. But imagine if he was beating Fury like that. You know. Yo.
Nah, we hear you, champ.
Yep.
We letting you rock out.
Like, come on. This man's equilibrium was off. His ears squirting blood. He had a dent on the side of his head. Like, bro, a salute to the captain, man. But we don't need that. We don't need that. We don't need that beating. If he was beating Fury like that. Oh, Lord. And, yo, back to this. They're playing with our money, man. They're playing with our money. We supporting these fighters in the fight, but then they laugh at us. We can't see a replay on it. Man, this shit
Word.
Is bullshit, man. It's bullshit, bro. Nah, it's bullshit, man. That's
they treat
the
us like
part.
Shit. That ain't no joke.
And they we hear rapping about it. What about Errol and Crawford? What about it? It ain't happening, man.
What do you think about our pre-sale idea? Putting it on a website, showtime.com, and saying, hey, if you really want this fight, We need 250,000 pre-orders at $75, and we'll make this fight in 3 months' time from hitting our goal.
That's a great plan. I'm salute. I would pay $100 for that fight. You know what I mean? And that's just me. Just want to see this 147 full belt era.
Mm-hmm.
It worked $100. And that's no bullshit, man. You know, we need this fight. And that sounds like a great plan. You know, hopefully, you know, Al can hear what you're talking about because you're rapping right. You know. But, man, you know, this shit with Wilder, man, this is, I can't see him getting beat like that again, man. No. That lucky shot ain't happening with Fury, man. No, man. That shit painful, bro. That shit painful watching that man fall like that, man. Man, listen, man. My son was, like, looking at me watching this fight. He 13. He looking at me watching this fight like, God. He going to die in that ring. I don't need that, man. We don't need that. Boxing don't need that. You know what I mean? He needs to go and try to tally up with AJ or something, man. Fight right. You know, get your buzz back, man. Get your foot back, man, because that one round shit, you got to go 12 at Fury, man. And he going to fuck you up. You know, but shout out to TBV, man. We're all day. We under 95 moving, man. We moving out here.
Stay safe,
champ. Yes, sir.
Stay safe. And if you don't already have one, head on over to KenichiBear.com and get yourself a set of Hibernation 5 so all my truck drivers stay safe on the road. You can stay in communication with your family. You could take phone calls. It has a detachable mic to make those phone calls even clearer. A lot of our truck drivers use those to call in, and you see the audio quality is magnificent. We ain't just pushing this product for no reason. We have a lot of community members that use them. We have a lot of fighters that use them. Shout out to Shadeja Green. Just got her set, and she loves them. Now her wife is upset. She wants a set. She feels like she's tuned out. So shout out to KenichiBear.com. Use the code TBV to save you a bunch of money when you buy these sets of headphones. We're going to keep these phone lines moving. Looks like we got callers on Discord. BK, stand up. King Bourne, what it do?
Hey, yo, y'all hear me, right?
We hear you.
Hey, listen, man. Hey, yo, Mike. Hey, yo, Mike from Queens. Peace. You heard? Like I said, man, yo, try to link up with me because you fucking with 95. I'll be home in the office and I'm trying to get a job with doing reasoning. Look at TBV, 5 Cat, Love Dog, my comrades, TBV comrades. Let's get to this shit. I got 3 points. Number one, Tank. Yo, you can call Tank, Fake, a boxing, Wheelchair Jimmy, the fake out, the ultimate fake out. Look how he move his ankles. He got loose ankles and shit, yo. Look like he was dancing doing that shit. So that Wheelchair shit is bullshit, you heard? Listen, man, let's keep it real. This wild shit is going to be very interesting. All my gods and earths, through the knowledge, I know it's knowledge and wisdom. It's 4 fights divided by 2. That means Wilder's going to have the wisdom to beat Fury finally. I think the 4th fight, if we get this shit, is going to be the best fight of all, because I think Wilder's going to get 2 knockdowns. Fury going to get 2 knockdowns. And I'm going to hit him with some shit that I've never seen before to finally put the giant in there. The second giant in there. Listen, all my TBV universe, all my callers, right?
Coach JT, King Bourne, call back in, brother. You sound like you went through some BS. Coach JT, talk to me.
Yo, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah, what up, Ness? What up, Danny?
What up,
everybody? I wouldn't mind seeing a fight again. What people fail to realize, when I hear these callers calling, they're talking about they don't want to see that fight. again, but you got to realize, I mean, Deontay Wilder has a strong chance on beating Fury. Yes, we know Fury. If Fury's going to win by outboxing him or stopping him, that happened. And we know Wilder put Tyson Fury down a few times. So the question is, you know, like some of these callers sit here and saying, it basically is, they don't want to see Deontay Wilder get defeated like that. Maybe one time Deontay Wilder go put Fury down and Fury might not get up because they both getting older. I think they took a few fights out of each other because they hurt each other. So it's a possibility. Yes, we know who's the better boxer. We know Fury's supposed to have Wilder number, but if you go back and look at the fights, man, Fury been down a few times, three or four times. We're fighting Wilder. Is it gonna be the one other time when Deontay Wilder catch him and put him down, and Fury's not gonna get back up? So I would like to see the fight, but also I would like to see Wilder fight other people. You know, I would like to see him fight Usyk. I like to see him fight Anthony Joshua if that fight ever was to make. So it's still good fights out there. If that fight came,
but you know
that,
they talking about Wilder Fury next. It's been secret talks, and since Usyk and Fury can't come together, they talking about Wilder Fury fighting in the UK next.
That's what I was just about to say, Ness. I would love to see other fights if it happened, but if this fight was next, absolutely. Because you got to remember, we could talk about all this about it, but Wilder feels some kind of way. He probably still feel upset. Got that feeling in his stomach as any man. He beat me before. He want to get that back. And Wilder probably believe in his mind he could beat Fury. I believe Wilder could beat Fury. But of course, I know we definitely know Tyson Fury could beat Wilder because it's been proven. So, man, it's a good fight. I would love to see it again. I think it's going to sell. I think it's going to do good. It's going to be an action-packed fight no matter the outcome of it again. But that's what you got to look at. Fury has been put down a few times by Wilder. So the question is, if Wilder keep putting him down, is Fury going to get back up? We know we've seen Wilder lose. I mean, besides that, this topic about Arrow and all that, I wouldn't support that. I wouldn't put my money up first in front. You know, you could sit there and say, I'm not a fan. I'm tired of that. I'm getting to the point where that fight getting burned out. You know, that's a good fight. I still want to see it, but I'm kind of getting to the point where you're tired of talking about it because it's not happening. It's like it's just too much shit going on for that fight to happen and take place. It was a good – whoever brought it up, it was a good idea for some people that's going to be willing to pick that money up and pick that money. But I'm the type, hey, if that fight get made, I would actually love to pay for that pay that pay-per-view to support those both of those brothers in that fight. Same thing with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Those two big fights that you wouldn't want to miss. I mean, that's all I got on the topic, though. I'll call back if somebody else says something stupid. I'll counterpunch.
Big Gucci Nick, you up?
TBV, everybody smash that like, subscribe, man. You know what it is. Coach JT, shout out you. I know you're a butt tender and all that, but you making points. Yeah, man, listen. I feel like I want to see that Wilder and Fury 4 next, man. Listen, these guys ain't getting any younger, and the quicker we see it, the closer they are to their primes, you know what I mean? Imagine Wilder knocks them out. Wilder, why not have the best chance of beating Fury, you know, fight Fury again, you know what I mean? Who else has a better chance to beat Fury than Wilder? I mean, maybe Usyk, but, like,
Usyk, Joyce, Wilder, those guys are probably your the guys that most have an opportunity at beating Fury.
Yeah, but Fury got it all, man. Joyce, he's got that crazy jab and fundamental size, but, like, he doesn't have the skill set, man. He don't got that crazy skill set. Usyk's a little bit smaller. And Usyk and AJ was okay. And Usyk and that other big dude, I forgot, Spoon something he fought.
Weatherspoon.
Weatherspoon was, he was big, but he wasn't skilled. AJ was big and kind of skilled, but, like, he didn't have that defense. He didn't move his head. Fury's got everything, man. And with that size discrepancy, using all the advantages he has, I don't think Usyk has a chance. But Wilder, he is the man. He has proven that power is like extremely reliable, man. Up until the 12th round, that power is reliable, man. I wouldn't mind seeing that fight as soon as possible, because like I said, man, these guys are as close to their primes right now as they are. And as time moves on, man, like I said, they're getting older and further away from their prime. So I'd love to see this. Could you imagine he beats Fury and it's Wilder and Usyk for Undisputed? That'd be crazy. That'd be crazy, man.
I mean, Usyk could always offer Wilder a shot for the unified belt since he can't, you know, come to an agreement with Fury.
Thing though, man, if you can't come to an agreement for Undisputed with Fury, how are you going to come to an agreement with Wilder? I don't see that happening.
I hear you, man. You know what I mean? Me wishfully thinking, because then it would make that fourth fight mean a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I hear you. That would make that fourth fight fucking definitely the biggest fight in the last decade for sure. Heavyweight Undisputed, hell yeah. With those two guys for a fourth fight, because we know what we saw the first three. And for Undisputed, that would be the biggest fight in the last decade, undeniably, man, for sure. But, yeah, Ness, keep up the great work, man. Shout out to you. Like I said, everybody smash that like and subscribe. I'll catch you on the next one, brother.
All right, brother. Appreciate you calling in. We got a lot of callers on the line. Don't go nowhere. We'll be coming right to you in the 4-8-0, Ronnie, what up?
I'm gonna make it kind of quick, man. I gotta run in right now to the store, but I don't want to see the fight, man. I appreciate everybody's opinion, and I mean everybody's making valid points. I don't want to see Wilder get hurt, man. His speech is not the same no more after that. You mean that trilogy? And man, yeah, we all know he does put up a good chance of winning, but I don't want to see him get hurt, man. The speech, you can tell a difference from the first fight and the last fight. Go back and watch him. You mean? But I was calling in earlier too. I had to get off because like I said, I'm at work, man. But I was calling in about the Juan Baby Bull Diaz. Juan Baby Bull Diaz. He was they promoted him real good at a young age, but he wasn't internationally. I mean, he was known here. He wasn't known worldwide, but they did a real good job promoting him at a young age, man. I remember watching him on, like, CBS or something like that on Saturday mornings, him and Rocky Juarez. Like, those dudes were good up-and-coming dudes at the time that they were putting a lot of promotion attention on. I got incarcerated, man. I was gone for 9 years, so I lost a lot of fucking, like, the times you guys started watching boxing, you know, you guys say about 13 years now. That's about the time that I was gone, man. And at first, I was able to get the Ring magazine while I was incarcerated, but they took him away saying that it was teaching us how to fight, so they stopped my magazines from coming in too. But yeah, I missed a lot of stuff. Like, you know, you guys watched the rise of like Danny Garcia, and I didn't get to see the rise of them, man. I got to see the tail end of all these dudes that you guys talk about. But you know, of course I'm back on it, man. I stay on YouTube all day long. You guys every morning, you guys every afternoon, and then if it ain't you guys, I'm just watching old boxing tapes and, you know, old boxing shit on YouTube and shit, man. But
we appreciate you,
show. Oh, yeah, you already know, bro. You like, so I'm only a prospect with you guys, bro, but I really do appreciate your guys' content, bro. You guys you guys got good shit to say, bro, and like I told you last time I called in, I might not always agree with everything you guys are saying, but I don't take it personal, bro. You mean we all got to have our opinions and argue them out, and however it goes, you mean? I don't like arguing with you guys because you guys are more in the business. You know, you guys know all your shit. I just know fights.
Yeah.
I just know the fighters. I'll keep it 100. I don't know that business aspect of it, you mean? But,
for sure.
Hey, thank you guys for the show. Love the show. Hit the like, subscribe. You guys have a good day, man.
Thank you, champ. Thank you, man, for the kind words as well. We do appreciate it, and we were glad you're tuning in. We're going out to what looks like possibly Florida in the 954. We got Rocky. What up?
What up? What up? What up? What up? What up, fellas? How you guys doing, man?
All good.
Listen, all right, my brother. Yo, on that Wilder and Fury 4, I don't want to see that again, man. Did you guys forget about the beatdown that Wilder took on that last fight? I'm not saying, like they say never, I'm not saying that I wouldn't be interested in seeing that fight again, but Wilder got to prove something. I mean, it's got to be like a crazy storyline where like Fury goes in there, fights Joe Joyce or fights Usyk, loses, Wilder comes in, knocks one of those dudes out, then we got a fourth fight. But right now, next, I'd rather see Wilder fight Ngannou if he's going to do something like that, because that's what it is to me, like a one-sided freak show. I mean, if he's not going in there with Andy Ruiz or Frank Sanchez, then come on, guys. You guys, did you forget about, like, the beating that he took? I don't want to see that again, man. So that's it. I just wanted to weigh in on that. And as far as on Tank Davis, I don't know, man. Maybe that whole thing was on purpose, like a marketing thing. He's faking an ankle injury to get us talking about it during the Super Bowl. Hopefully that fight is still going to happen because, man, I'm tired of getting played with, man. Make the fight. But that's it, man. That's my call. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you. And if you haven't already subscribed to the YouTube channel, go ahead and do so. We're trying to get to our next goal of 165,000. Right now we're at 164,645, so we need about 300 more and some change to get to that goal. Help us out by telling a friend to tell another friend that we are here rocking out every single morning, twice a day, bringing you boxing content. We got Tommy in Florida talking.
What up, Ness? You got?
I got you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Shout out to the Boston boys. Personally, Bill, I'll watch it. You know what I'm saying? I'll watch it again. And then not only would I watch it for that fight, because people, just to stick on that fight for 2 seconds, basically, people kind of throw Usyk in there, but a lot of people don't always that I hear talk about heavyweight is going to pick Fury and Wilder to beat everybody else. You know, it's certain people that say this guy will beat that guy or that guy beat that guy, you know, this person to give Fury a good fight, blah, blah, blah. But probably like 98% of the people will say everybody will lose to Wilder and Fury. And then it's like it's somebody that will beat Wilder and pretty much nobody picking anybody over Fury. And then not only would I watch it for that fight, I would love to see if they'll do the same thing they did last time and put a good card together. Because if, like, how ready do you think, Jarrell Miller, the top-ranked all-heavyweight? Shit, sure. Throw him in there with Cav Naki. Is it Jarrell Miller? The one supposed to fight April 8th with Shakur
Jared
on the
Anderson?
Card.
Jared Anderson.
Jared Anderson was, okay, I was thinking the other big baby, but, how, like, if you know, throw him in there with one of the known PBC guys, Cav Naki, like I said. Helena is probably going to be out for a while, but it's people with decent names on the PBC side that have watched Jared Anderson fight. So if they put him on that undercard, you know, and then they PBC throw, forgot his name, the Cuban that just beat Joshua.
I ain't going to say too much. But it's already PBC names that turned down the fight for April 8th. So, you know.
But this the thing. But the difference I would say what that would be is what if it's PBC Wilder versus top ranked Fury, wouldn't it probably be another? I mean, since Tyson won the last fight, it'll probably be an all top ranked thing instead of a joint promotion. But if it's not a joint promotion, I'm pretty sure PBC would push, you know, one of their fighters more likely to fight him, especially if they think he can beat him. Like, and then if it's not a heavyweight, do the 160, Jenebeck versus the dude that want to fight Charlo. That'd be a good-ass fight to me. But just, you know, they just put PBC fighters versus top-ranked fighters, which their side think their guy is the better guy, and it's worth the risk of beating the other promotion's guy, you know. So basically, it'd be like a cross promotion thing with a different fighters of fight people on other promotions. It'd be a good card. That's what I'm saying. I think they'll put together a good card just like they did last time. So that's another reason why I would buy it.
For sure.
But I mean, you know, that's my take on it.
If it's a joint promotion, there's definitely fights that can be made that would help make it bigger. I just feel like the main event in itself has to be pretty big. And I don't know how many people, I personally wouldn't mind it if Wilder were to get at least one more win and look
one
good
more, yeah.
and have a proper training camp. Like, yo, he went into the second one quick as hell, like fought Thanksgiving weekend and then turned around in February. Like, that was rather quick, in my opinion.
Do me a favor before you cut me. For everybody else who calls in, right, and say no to the fight, tell them to get you an opponent for Fury other than Usyk. That like
Joe
that's
Joyce?
Better. Push him, push.
Joe Joyce?
He gets pushed versus Wilder. Joe Joyce.
I think even Joshua could push him. And Jared Anderson.
Nah, dude. Now, how likely do you think? What's the likelihood that Jared Anderson, Joshua, or George probably the highest chance will can fight?
You breaking up, champ?
It is being reported by Frank Warren, who is the co-promoter of Tyson Fury. This morning, he told Talk Sports that the secret talks that have been taking place for Tyson and Wilder happening next, he insists, he's denying those rumors and insists that they're focusing on making Usyk versus
Fury next.
I don't know if I believe that. Where there's smoke, there's certainly fire.
Well, all right.
Looks like we got LV Slugger next up. What up?
TBV, fellas, how I sound?
You sound okay.
Yo, man, Wilder Fury 4, man, that's not the news I was, planning on hearing, I was hoping he was going to go the Ruiz route, get some of these other guys that heavyweight knocked off, but, if he do decide to go the Fury route, we all for it over there, he's at a point in his career, up there in the late 30s, he's all about his money, him coming out, saying, what's going on with PBC, tired of getting the back end checks, So if this is a big money fight where he can get all his money up front, I'm all for it, We seen how the other three fights played out, But we all was entertained, I feel like, in every fight. So damn right, I'm all for the fourth fight if it was to come next. But, me being a fan, I would rather him, go to Ruiz, knock him off, Joshua get him, and or Usyk, knock those guys off, and then probably the fourth fight. But like I said, we go straight into it. We all been entertained by the other three, so I don't think the fourth one will let us down, So, like I said before, man, we rocking with the champ to the wheels fall over him, man. But, if he do decide to go to the UK, I think he could, before a Fury fight, that Dillian White was still they had a lot of back and forth over the years, and I think that'll be a nice little, I ain't going to just say a nice fight because I feel like I've been saying for years ago, I think that's a one-round fight. I just think it'll be a nice build-up, a nice little build-up to the first round. We got Wilder's known for knocking these pro boxers out in one round, and I think Dillian White will be number four, on this level. So you can get that White fight, then try to build up, that UK fight over there with Fury. And try to go in that fourth fight. But, yeah, me being, if I would rather him, knock out these other, top heavyweights rather than just get in there with Fury. After his last fight, he only was able to get one round in. So I would rather him get more rounds in before just stepping in there with Fury. But he been in there with the man three times. So, I mean, he knows what comes with Fury. So, Yeah, that's all I really got, man. Just hopefully, you know, we do get him back active sometime, and hopefully it's Andy Ruiz. You know, they can do whatever they got to do to try to get that fight. We all know how
to. I mean, plenty of reports say that the Wilder's not happy with the Ruiz offer.
Yeah, I heard. They don't say, yeah, though, that's what I know. I've been hearing that, too. So, you know, that's the fight I want just because I know the fanfare. If you bring the black and Mexican fans together, always comes out, you know, a good little outcome, you know, especially with them two guys being champions, you know what I mean? So hopefully they can get it done, but it's not looking like it's going to happen, man. But I'm just going to enjoy it. Like you said, man, he got 3 years left. He's 37. You know, he's stopping at 40. So I'm enjoying these next 3 years, regardless of who he's fighting, man. You know what I'm saying? Started late, came to the sport late, you know, medaled, 10 title defenses, matched up with his idol in Ali. So, I mean, really ain't statued up, you know, got that statue sitting out there, so not too many active boxers can say they accomplished all this. You know, we got these guys top for top, pound for pound, never medaled, you know, all this skill, you know, all this defense and shit, they never medaled, you know what I'm saying? This man started early 20s and did all that. So, I mean, y'all better be happy he didn't start when he was younger because he really wouldn't be able to be fucked with. Yeah, man, that's all I got, man. And it will, if we do get in there with him a fourth time, it will be two time. That's my call.
All right, C-Dub, we going to Boxing Savant. What up? Boxing Savant. Matthew, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
We hear you.
Shout out to TVV. Wilder wants to stay away from that smoke, man, because, you know, Fury's just going to hurt him again. I don't think Wilder even deserves that shot, to be fair. I mean, Wilder should first admit all the bullshit he said and all the lies he told about Tyson Fury. Then maybe Fury can give him a shot. I think we should focus more on getting Usyk to, you know, come to terms and admit that he's not a 50-50 fighter. You know, he needs to come to some kind of terms with Frank Warren, accept a realistic deal in London and get that fight on. I find Wilder fighting Fury next unlikely. I think they all want Ngannou. It's a much easier fight. You take less punishment and probably get paid the same money. But Ness, what do you think about Usyk's promoter saying, oh, I demand 50% of this purse in London? You think that's fair?
I mean, I'm pretty sure AJ was getting 50.
AJ was getting 40%. So AJ didn't give Usyk 50%. What A side gives the B side 50%?
Wilder.
Wilder took 60%.
Not in the second fight.
You said the other day, 60-40. Wilder got 60-40.
In the first fight. Then when Fury won, he got the lead.
Yeah, but that was two A-sides because Fury had been built up.
I mean, so Usyk has more belts. Usyk has more. Why does the argument for AJ not work? I mean, that was the argument you had for AJ, and that's the reason he was the A-side.
Oh, Tank ain't giving Ryan Garcia no 50%.
Again, so Tank don't got four belts,
Usyk can walk away from that fight if he wants.
Ryan ain't got no leverage.
Tank ain't got four
Ryan ain't got four belts.
No leverage because if Usyk doesn't get this fight, he has to fight Daniel Dubois next. How much is he going to get for that fight?
After he beats Dubois, he'll be available.
No, he won't because then he has to fight Joe Joyce and Hergovic. He's going to be locked up in mandatories for about 12 months, mate, if he doesn't take this fight now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he should take it for any less. He's got all the belts.
No, he's got three belts. And
how much
do
you think, I mean, no, I definitely see the argument for Fury getting more, but how much?
What?
Absolutely.
I say 60-40 or 65-35.
Yeah, I don't know. 60-40, I think 60-40. You know what
because
I'm
at the end of the day, it's not 55-45. Like Usyk collected all them belts. Usyk beat one man to get them belts.
It don't matter. He beat the man. He beat the man.
AJ was never the man. Wilder was the man.
Man, get the fuck out
of
here, bro.
What are we talking about?
You're bullshitting.
You're wilding.
You're bullshitting. Bro, so that's what I'm saying. Why does the story change for certain individuals? Like, Earl did all the heavy lifting.
Bro.
Earl did all the heavy lifting.
I'm not Ring Magazine belt around you 6 weeks. Fury gave that to him. So he should say thanks for that belt. You know, when he sees him in London, say, nice one for that, mate. Appreciate you giving me that belt.
I mean, Earl did all the heavy lifting in one argument. AJ did no heavy lifting in this argument.
Yeah, but Errol Spence never gave Bud Crawford no 60% to this day.
You're right. But Errol Spence, according to the fans, is entitled to more because he got the belts. But you don't let that argument work for Fury.
If you look at the leverage, Fury can go and earn this kind of money with someone else, put him on an 80-20. Because let's be honest, Fury don't care about the fucking legacy.
Wilder can't do an American pay-per-view for three belts with Usyk? What are you talking about, bro?
Wilder versus Usyk. I think Usyk are knocking Wilder
out.
And that's
fine.
Ain't
nobody talking about the winner. All we talking about is don't act like Usyk can't offer Wilder a shot for American pay-per-view.
He can't because he's got mandatories.
Bruh, he ain't got no mandatories right now, and they trying to let him fight motherfucking Fury.
Only because it's undisputed. But if he fought Wilder, it wouldn't be undisputed.
Yeah,
it would only be three belts.
Okay.
I think the IBF just actually ordered today.
I heard something called Step Aside.
Yeah?
But
I'm pretty sure the IBF ordered today.
Frank Warren's not
going to
let that go. Frank Warren's
IBF ordered Hergovich and Ruiz.
Oh,
we ain't see shit about that
yet. Yeah,
WBO made Joyce an interim champ.
In your fantasy world, I hope it comes true.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Usyk goes and fights Wilder.
I'm the one living in the fantasy world, but
come back and earn his 50%. How about
that? I'm in a fantasy world, but Joe Joyce has been elevated to interim. He ain't get no mandatory shot. Hergovich has been sitting on the shelf waiting on a shot, and he got ordered to fight Ruiz. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about, bro. Those names you speak of, they never get in a shot because they don't make money.
Well, they're all Joe Joyce is the mandatory, so is Hergovich.
Joe Joyce
got a
fight, from what I heard, right? Don't he got a fight
he's
schedule?
Gonna bang out. Okay, then the Big Django will be the mandatory.
Right.
Which he won't.
Name a time when a person had a fight and immediately next they was the mandatory. It just don't happen the way you speaking, bro.
Bro, this shit's been being taken care of for the past 12 months.
If it's been taken care of, why is Hergovich fighting a dude coming off a loss?
Because they're going to stay
Excuse me, Joyce.
You see, fighters don't have to become the mandatory and then just halt their entire career.
Okay,
you know,
brother.
Just halt your entire career until you get your shot.
You're right.
Anyway, peace.
Peace. I just don't see what he's speaking of. You know, if Joyce was in position, he wouldn't be fighting Zhang. If Phillip was in position, they wouldn't be ordering him to fight fucking Ruiz. Boxing Savant, what up? It's like saying, Harrison beats Zoo and him and Charlo is next. It's not next. It got to be ordered.
Yo, you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, a couple of points here. Okay, you talking about the Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, part four. So if we going by the LDBC narrative, a.k.a. the LBGTQ community, that Tyson Fury cheated, why would Deontay Wilder go in there and share the ring with him for a fourth time? There's no reason to go in there and share the ring because Deontay Wilder can't beat Tyson Fury. The same reason why AJ can't beat Alexander Usyk. They're career power punchers. They can't beat a masterful boxer. The only heavyweight that can beat Tyson Fury is Jared Anderson. He's the only one that can defeat Tyson Fury. Nobody else.
All right. Thanks for calling in, brother. Info Joe is on you.
What's up? Yo, what's up, my boxing brothers? Top of the morning.
What up, champ?
What up, champ? Hey, on the topic, I wouldn't want to see Wilder versus Fury, man. I think that Wilder should fight Ruiz, and if AJ beats Jermaine Franklin, I think they should fight next. And then the winner out of that fights Fury. But I think the AJ Wilder fight is still big. It is still do good. I've always been wanting that fight. And I think that should be Wilder's next. And he'll make the same amount, if not maybe a little bit less, then, or make more money fighting AJ than fighting Fury. So I think that should be the order. I do not want to see Wilder go right into a Fury fight right now, man. It's pointless. It needs to build up. And I think that would be a big build up for whoever wins out of AJ and Wilder fights Fury, man. But I think AJ and Wilder is a big fight. I think it'll sell either or America, or I wouldn't even mind Wilder going to the UK and doing that shit, or make it in Africa, man. I would like to see AJ and Wilder in Africa somewhere, man. That should be nostalgia, like the Rumble in the Jungle type shit like that. Maybe have it in Nigeria or something like that, man. Ghana or something, man. But I think that's a big fight, man. It's still. I think the shit talking, it got a big history. You know what I'm saying? Y'all, would you still want to see that fight? AJ and Wilder?
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, man. So, but the Fury and Wilder right now, nah, it needs a big build up, man. We've seen it three times. Until Wilder gets on a good winning streak again, a good confidence booster, then we'll see it again. But as of right now, hell no. But that's all I got. For the best boxing news, breakdown, and previews, TBV, subscribe. Hit them thumbs up. Stop shoplifting. These dudes is doing pound-for-pound work. I'm out, my brothers. Peace.
And Joe, we appreciate you.
And if you haven't already subscribed, go ahead and do so. Help us get to that next goal. We got DOG.
Smash that like button while you at it.
DOG215 coming from the UK with the $2 pound says, Dr. Usama. Is why Fury won. Ben's doctor. Okay. Mad Bet 100, $5 Super Chat says, I agree with CYP. Tank will get well. Ryan needs some rest. And looks like we got another Super Chat just came in.
From who? Could
that
it be?
Is...
Trillion Dollar Dreams, $5 says, Wilder needs to fight Ruiz, Joshua, and then fight the winner of Usyk versus Fury. I love Wilder, but he got to earn a shot at the champ. I'll watch it if next.
And Nick, are you up? Got to accept on Discord. What up, what up?
Hey, how's it going?
Straight.
Hey, yeah, I think that, I think only, like, Wilder fans are interested in that fourth fight because, I think, like, most boxing fans deem it as unnecessary. Like the third fight, pay-per-view wise, it did less sales than the second fight. So I'm thinking the fourth one is gonna do even worse. You know, what would that prove? You know, like if like it is a fight. You know, like Wilder can land a big punch.
I mean, what's better? Tyson Fury versus Wilder 4 or Tyson Fury versus Chisora 3?
Oh, of course, Wilder, you know, but like...
Well, there you go. They did that on pay-per-view, and you know, that did not great. I'm sure this will do better.
Yeah, man, it's sad that he ain't fighting Usyk, you know. I don't get it, you know. To me, that would have been a better fight. I think Usyk has a great chance of beating Fury, but it is what it is. And regarding the other plan to with the Spence Crawford pay per view, can you get your money out at any time if you put money in it?
Not out. I think that you should be entitled to a refund if the fight doesn't happen. But you can't put your money in and then turn around and take it out. No, you got if you put it in, it's in there unless only way you get it back is if the fight don't happen.
Oh, I was like, as much as I want to see that, but I don't know if I'll do that, you know, because, like, tomorrow I never promise, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but that's the point. You are promised your money back if the fight don't happen. Like, what don't you get?
What if I die?
Come on, man, you're being negative now. You better pray to Jesus.
Yeah. I appreciate it. All right, brother.
Ruin the 504, what it do? Came up with a solid plan. Now they thinking about death and shit. What the hell?
What's happening, y'all?
What's happening?
I'd be disappointed if we didn't get undisputed, but I mean, just have to start having low expectations of the sport at this point, just as a whole fandom. Mm. So realizing that we're all prick, and there's fights that we're not interested in, but we still find ourselves in front of something watching it, some people paying for it. It's just, as a Usyk fan, I really wanted that undisputed, but again, trying to keep perspective that if it didn't happen, try not to get too disappointed or surprised, because this sport stinks. This sport absolutely stinks right now. So hopefully they can work it out, but I don't want the fourth Wilder fight, but I didn't want, well, actually I did want the third Golovkin-Canelo fight. But I mean, but anyway, I'm going to find myself somewhere paying money to watch it anyway, because we're just hopeless as fight fans. Like, we get abused and we still spend money for stuff we're not thrilled over. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, I mean, y'all have a good day. Good show.
Appreciate you, Rue. Thank you for always dropping a question to our guests and continuing to be a Patreon. King Bourne, trying you again. If you're on Blog Talk, go ahead and press 1. One time, that's going to indicate to us that you're ready to rock and roll and you're trying to talk on the show. All right. Looks like we got in the 941. King Bourne, we don't hear you. Should have got them Hibernation 5s with you over there playing with them corner store phones.
Ha. No and if more. You are tuned in, make sure to smash that like button. Make sure you are subscribed. And don't forget, we do a live show 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, live from the Blue Wire Studios inside the Wynn Hotel and Casino on the Vegas Strip. So don't forget to double back in just 3 hours.
941, who's this?
Yo.
Hello.
Y'all can hear me?
941, who's this?
Yo, it's Tico. Y'all can hear me?
I hear you. What's up? What's your name?
I just wanted to... Tico.
Tico.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say...
Tampa?
I was just wanting to say that I think Wilder's in a tough spot because I think Fury has his number, and also I think they might want to give that WBC to Ruiz, and he might just, like, run and edge out a 12-rounder. So I think the fight to make is AJ.
Okay. AJ got a fight with Franklin, though.
And that ain't till
I mean, not right
April.
Now. Like, it don't got to be done right now, but I think Wilder just should just chill or take a different fight because he's been hurt so
out
much.
Because he ain't fought since October. AJ fighting in April, which means he ain't going to be ready till the end of summer.
Well, he definitely shouldn't fight Ruiz, I don't think. I just think Ruiz going to cheapen it out and edge out a 12-rounder and get that WBC. I don't know.
Over Wilder?
Saying that Ruiz is better, I just think it's in the WBC's interest to give it to Ruiz over Wilder, I think.
I mean, I think you're not looking at the whole scope of things. Like, why would it be in the WBC's interest to give it to a dude that failed miserably on pay-per-view and got dropped by a dude that is – coming off retirement? If anything, I'm thinking money and sanctioning fees and percentages. I'm going to go with the guy that's been making $25 million, so I get 3% of that. I'm going to go with the guy that's been on pay-per-view more times than Ruiz, so I'm going to go with that. So your Ruiz analogy doesn't even fit.
I just think it doesn't make any sense to make a four. I mean, in my opinion,
I hear
really,
you. That certainly could be true, but it don't make any financial sense for the WBC to
push for
favor
the Ruiz. Yeah.
Ruiz.
Well, I mean, they're going to have to fight eventually is what I'm saying. So what I should say is, like, if they're going to fight, they should do it for the belt. I don't know.
Nah, you're right, but it's for the elimination for the belt. You know, it's eliminator, but I get you.
Yeah, no, but that's it, man. Thank you guys for having me. I'm a daily listener, so I appreciate y'all. And that's
appreciate
it.
You, brother. Thank you for calling in and voicing your opinion. We look forward to having you back on the show.
Keep tuning in and rocking out with us.
That's right. We got another caller, brand new in right here in Las Vegas where it's cold. What's going on? 702.
Yo, what up? Can you hear me?
I hear you. Who's this?
Jay Swift.
Jay Swift, what it do?
Yo, man. I rocks with Deontay Wilder. I've been rocking with him from the beginning. But I look at the fights totally different than how y'all look at the fights. Deontay Wilder went in, I think he was like 235, 240. Tyson Fury came into the fight. He was like 275, 280. So when I look at the weight difference, I'm like, Fury is in another weight class. He's like a super heavyweight as opposed to a heavyweight. And there's no way that you're going to get a decent fight out of Wilder or out of Fury and anybody in the heavyweight class that's 240 and under. So I don't think that
yeah, I disagree.
Well, of course. I mean, it's okay, but my point is, I don't think, I mean, unless Tyson Fury starts to get old and then, you know, young boxers coming up can probably deal with him. But we're talking about right now, Tyson Fury is at his greatest right now. And I think Deontay should focus on other fighters in his weight class where he can get wins.
I agree,
And that would bring his confidence back. Because also another thing is his team didn't protect him. His team did not protect him. Because when you see a dude coming in 50 pounds over the fighter that they're trying to fight, I wouldn't have never even agreed to that fight. I would have agreed to the fight. If I was on Deontay Wilder's team, I would have said, look, yo, you got to come in at least, the most you can come in is 20 pounds over, 30 pounds over. You can't come in 50 pounds over. That's ridiculous. Because like he said, before they even got to the second fight, he said, I'm going to lean on him. I'm going to lean all my body on him. I'm going to, and it's not like Fury can't box. Fury can box. He can dance around. He can shoot his jab. He can throw combinations. He can do that. It's not like he can't. But it's an overwhelming advantage when you're 50 pounds older. When you're 50 pounds. And the same with Mikey Garcia.
He was never 50 pounds heavier. But
how many pounds was he over Deontay Wilder?
He was about 40, 42, depending on the fight. Never 50, though.
There's no such thing.
You're making excuses. There's no such thing as a super heavyweight. It only exists in the amateurs. This isn't the amateurs. It's the professional ranks for a reason.
The fact that you keep repeating
super heavyweight is just an excuse.
All professional boxing, they start by weight class. So when Mikey Garcia comes up from 135 and fights Errol Spence at 147, that's a weight class change.
Yeah, the heavyweight division doesn't have that. So you preferencing everything doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't matter what the smaller people did. There is no limit for the heavyweight division.
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm not
disputing
that.
If you think Wilder is small, the WBC created a Bridgerweight. So tell him to go down. Don't try to put Fury in a different division.
Fury is the only one that's up there 275, 280.
That's not true. That's not true. You're not watching enough boxing. I mean, have you looked at Zhang, the Chinese heavyweight?
Yeah, okay. So you got two people up there.
I mean, there's more than two, again. Again, you
Let
just don't know. Them. You just don't know.
Well, I'm not saying I know everything.
When I first came on, I said I'm a Wilder fan. Joe Joyce jumped on the scale yesterday. He's 268.
That's not the same as 275, 280, 290.
Man, knock it off, brother. Bro, knock it off, man.
It's not the same, though.
Hey, look.
I mean, that's just a theory that I have. I'm a journalist. Like, I write articles. So I think outside the box. I'm not saying that everything I say is facts or fiction. It's a theory that I have. I believe... we have to come up with theories.
All right, so hold on, Big Baby Miller weighs
320 pounds, bruh. Big Baby, my spawn partner's 22 weighs 320. Like, you tripping right now? You just not watching enough of the sport.
I'm not tripping. I'm just exploring a theory.
But again, if we're giving you facts, your theory seems to have holes. Stop trying
to keep giving me facts, but that does not mean that. The fact that Tyson Fury was 40 pounds, almost 50 pounds heavier than Deontay Wilder does not mean that that wasn't a factor, because it was.
But again, if you believe that, then send a letter to Wilder, go to Bridgeport.
You're breaking up. Say that again.
If you believe that, send a letter to Wilder to move to Bridgeport.
Well, no, I was just calling in because it was talk radio. I'm not about to be...
I understand, but you're not getting what I'm saying.
So look, you feel that you said nobody fuck with Theory. That's 240, right?
No. At 40 pounds heavier. 40 pounds heavier is another weight class.
So what is, how much is Fury, though? How much is he weighing? What's the max? What's the max somebody can fight Fury?
270, 275,
what is he today? What is he today? Give me his weight today.
I don't know.
Because Wilder put on 25, 30 pounds, but you know what I'm saying?
Well, he's trying to catch up to Fury's weight so he doesn't appear so frail. But if you've seen the second fight, when he came into the second fight, he wasn't Deontay Wilder. He was quiet. His girl was leaning on him, laying on him. He wasn't amped up or nothing. And you go into a fight like that, you get knocked out cold.
So now it's because his girl was leaning on him and he wasn't hyped up, the reason he got knocked out.
You remember when he was sitting there and they were doing the pre-fight?
Okay, here we go. Yeah, my guy, appreciate the call, Tim. I'm gonna have to let you go. Yeah, because this is starting to make my head hurt and shit, bro. First his girl, or now his girl leaning on him, and she was too heavy, and he wasn't hyped enough because of all her body weight. So, like, bro, what the fuck is we talking about, man? This the boxing boys, baby. But let's see who else, who up next. We have nobody on Twitter Spaces. And let me see if we got anybody else on Blog Talk. Because if not, you know what time it is. We might have to wrap it up. And, yeah, it looks like that's everybody on Twitter Spaces and on Blog Talk. I will check Discord really quick to see if we have anybody over here. A-Side Stainless, what up?
Yo, Danny, yep. You can hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Yo, man, me and Majid out here smoking blunts by the river, enjoying ourselves, man. Yo, man, I saw the topic. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yo, what'd he say?
Since we're talking ahead.
I was born by the river on a cloudy day.
Yo, but since we're talking heavyweights, man, that's the Dominican nightmare. Young Ali Gibbs fighting in Border Wars, the return of the heavyweight champ, you know what I'm saying? The lineal heavyweight champ. You know what I'm saying? Why, look, man, I got nothing but love for the people champ, Deontay Wilder. I might not like Fury outside the ring, but I respect his skills inside the ring. But, man, it's Border Wars until February 26th for me. So we got the Dominican Nightmare, Young Ali, Nestor Gibbs making his return to, what's his name? Because that's what he's going to be when he's done with him, man. February 25th, Plus, you know what I'm saying, for Untitled Show tomorrow, Boxing Bars Volume 2, War of the Worst Edition. That's how we going to do it, man. And I see y'all there on February 25th. I will be performing live, too, and got a special presentation on top of that. So as always, say, make sure you push the thumbs up, share this and every episode of the Boxing Voice Podcast. This is TBV for life. If you ain't on Patreon,
it's because you're stupid.
Shout out to El Camino. You already know. I might have to start saying shout out to Hardin because y'all be on it now.
Man.
Peace.
You feel me? Stainless, appreciate you, champ. Appreciate you tuned in. That is everybody on the Discord. That is everybody on Twitter Spaces and on Block Talk on behalf of the heavyweight Dominican Nightmare, Nesta Gibbs, Nest GTO, Ringwalk Danny. We are the Boxing Voice. Catch us on the next one. Real quick, VA Money Group, $2 Super Chat. He said, yo, I'm in the queue. Is this you? Because what queue you in? Nobody on Twitter. Nobody on Discord. Yeah, champ. Where is you at, VA Money Group? Or was that Stainless? Stainless? I don't know. Real quick, I'm going to see just in case somebody pop up. Because y'all think I'll be trying to, you know, leave and all this shit. So nobody on Blog Talk, still nobody on Discord, and still nobody on Twitter Spaces. Yeah, man, we out. Catch us 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern right here, youtube.com/TheBoxingVoice. We out. If I could find a thing, we'll be out. But if not, then you guys can call in. Let me see. Make sure this ain't him. Yo, 253, talk to me. Was that you, VA Group? VA Money Group? Is this you? Nope. All right. Yo, where is Pop up. Oh, this is ridiculous. I deadass cannot find the it won't end. This is all right, so we're gonna keep rocking out until all right, we got somebody. Who we got? Cappy, talk to me. Until we able to figure this out. Yo, we got Cappy Cool 84, talk to me. You gotta unmute on Twitter Spaces. Gotta unmute.
What's going on?
What up, champ? Talk to me.
What's going on? Now, man, y'all talking about heavyweights, man. Yeah, kind of like what you was talking about, what Ness was talking about earlier, man. Like, they making a lot of excuses for Wilder. It was too small for the weight division. I mean, that's why WBC made the Bridgerweight. If you feel like he's too small, like, they talking about how Tyson Fury had 50, 60 pounds on my man's.
He only had 40 some, and look what the guy is saying is ridiculous, because you gotta understand who he had helping him get ready for that fight. He had Jared Anderson, 20-year-old, who was, guess what, 40 pounds lighter. So at the end of the day, it's like, yo, if you like that, you like that. Sometimes you just got motherfuckers' numbers. You think that was the first time Wilder fought somebody that was fatter than him or heavier than him? What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I was just about to say that shit. That's why I feel like that number four doesn't make no sense. Like, not one time was that fight competitive besides the first fight. The second and third fight. I mean, even in the first fight, Tyson Fury was beating the bricks off of Wilder. And then he just got lucky with those knockdowns. So, I mean, that fourth fight doesn't make sense. Maybe financially, because people are hoping, you know, Wilder got a big backing. But in reality, there is that fight wasn't competitive. Tyson Fury just has his number, you know. And if they want to put size into a matter, like when you put Big Baby, Jared Miller, if you put Jared Miller in that situation, Jared Miller would have 40, 50 pounds over Tyson. Because he come in at like 320, don't he, or something like that. So, I mean, that, like you said, heavyweights don't have a weight limit,
And if they feel like they need a weight limit, then they need to go back to what WBC did, make a Bridgerweight, fight in that category if you feel like you're too strong.
Or go to Cruiser, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it's the heavyweight game. It's always been the heavyweight game. It used to not be no Cruiserweight, you know?
Exactly, and not only that, but, you know, Deontay Wilder can't get down to Bridgerweight, and he can't even get to Cruiserweight, because I think he came in one time 214 for one fight, if I'm not mistaken.
212.
You know?
212.
Yeah. So he could easily fight. And look, to get funky with it, he can go down to Bridgerweight, get a title down there, and be a two-division weight champion. You know, if you're worrying about his legacy, although, you know, I don't know how much respect he'll get for that, but it is a weight division. You know, it is a weight class nowadays.
It is a weight class nowadays. You are correct in the weight belt that he's represented his whole career. So, my
exactly.
God.
Yeah.
Cappy.
I need to see two big babies. I need them to fight for that name. I need Jared Miller versus old boy Jared Anderson. Let's get fighting for the name. Let's go, big baby.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I don't know that Jarrell Miller want to do that. You know, I don't know that he want to do that. You know what I'm saying? But I appreciate it, my guy. Keep tuning in. Keep rocking out. This time we are done. No more callers. Ringwalk, Danny Ness, GTL, the Boxing Voice. Catch us on the next one. Peace. Thank you.